It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. At 1013thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, not all accounted for. Brady's here. Artie's here. Rich is at cult camp. How you doing, big boy? What's going on?
He's actually not at cult camp today.
Oh, he's not at cult camp.
No, he ditched us today, and he actually worked at the Lake Monsters game.
You see, this is why you got to be careful when you go to dinner there Wednesday night. Because I'm very suspect of the people he hangs out with. Because I saw a post today saying, it was good to hear Rich on the radio today. And I'm saying, okay, but Rich wasn't on the radio today. Now, I don't know what he's listening to. Is he listening to something, a tinfoil hat or something?
He was listening to the Lake Monsters game on the internet radio because George Como, the voice of the Lake Monsters, was out for the one game of the season. And Rich, he won't break his vacation for us, but he'll break his vacation to do one game of Lake Monsters play-by-play.
And that's what they meant on the radio?
Yes, the internet stream.
Are you serious?
VTLakeMonsters.com.
You got to be careful because they don't know what's going on.
That wasn't a guy at the camp. That was just a person who listens to the Lake Monsters.
Trust me, you'll be getting people worse than that at the camp. They'll be like, did you see Rich on the radio?
You act like this is going to be some backwood.
You don't know where you're going. If I were you, I wouldn't go there without mace, a pocket knife, and a slingshot. If you could bring a gun, bring a gun if you got to.
I'm anticipating it being... You relax like it's the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Bring a bow and arrow just in case. That's all I'm telling you.
I'm anticipating it to be like a nice campsite where it's just a bunch of log cabins.
Yeah, that's not what I picture it at all.
It's like you picture it like being the Flintstones or something.
No, I picture like in some wilderness... All of a sudden, you're running through the woods, and people are trying to attack you from the camp. You're like, we don't like that Brady guy. What's he doing?
He ain't one of us.
No, there's like bows and arrows just flying by your head. One is stuck in your calf.
All the people,
and you're trying to get away.
All the people in rural areas are just hating you right now. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously.
I'm being serious. I don't trust that cult camp.
I think cult camp is going to be fun. I'm anticipating a nice hot dog, a good burger. I don't know if they'll have any condiments. I might just get just a burger and hot dog.
I think one time I actually drove on their property.
Oh, no. Rich would have you arrested
for that. I was going to say, there was two guys with guns there. So they're like, you need to turn around. We don't like your kind here.
This is not. I don't even want to say a state where there are people that talk like that, but this is not the deep South. Like, this is Vermont. It's okay. They don't talk like that.
Yeah, but they're not all from Vermont. They come up here. So who knows where the hell they're from, yeah?
That's a very, very expensive plot of land. The people who are there, they got to be pretty well off.
How expensive could it be if Rich is part owner?
Come
on now. Well, Rich can't afford a 12-pack.
That's the reason why Rich doesn't have... more than four shirts, and they're all giveaways because he's all got all his money tied up in cult camp.
Shane says, Brady, it may end up being safe, but it's definitely going to be weird. It's going to be.
So are you picturing people in overalls, like...
Oh, definitely.
With no undershirts.
Yeah,
and
overalls.
Hairy
no
chest
undershirt,
coming out.
Big fire pit, asking you weird questions. No, definitely. And, like, having bow and arrow contest.
Rich said I can get a couple of pictures and a little bit of video, but he won't let me do a lot more. What if I bring around my audio recorder and I just interview people at cult camp?
I think that'd be great. What happens if they say put an apple on your head and they're going to take a bow and arrow and try to put it through the apple?
Then I'll take my dinner to go. But I think that I should take my phone around and just go up to people and say, okay, sir or ma'am, tell me about your experience at cult camp.
Not sure. I'll ask them how long they've been there, how they've met Rich.
Do they even like Rich?
How long have they been out of jail? Stuff like that. Just the stuff that we normally want to know. I mean, come on now.
By the way, are you ready for later today?
Well, for my wife. She's coming on the show from 4 to 5. No, I don't think you could ever really fully be prepared for my wife to come and
see. She already was all over me last night at Orange Theory.
What, she?
Make sure you're ready for me.
I know she wanted some cut of for her Gone But Not Forgotten thing.
Yeah, she's like, oh, it's Tuesday, Gone But Not Forgotten. So she asked me for a Gone But Not Forgotten clip. I'm like, and it's like a clip from like the 1800s.
And the funny part is, I'm like, is that today? I didn't even know. I don't even know when Gone But Not Forgotten is.
It's every Tuesday at 4:55.
Yeah, well, she remembered that. I'm not prepared for this. I don't know if it's actually a good idea, to be honest with you. I'm actually guessing it's probably going to end up more disastrous than anything else.
Do you think I'm going to get a word in edgewise?
No.
I have like legitimate questions for you guys.
No. There'll be mostly Beth. I don't know. She may be intimidated by the microphones for like the first 10 seconds, but after that, she'll just start yakking away. So I don't remember if I've ever had her on any of my shows. I've had my father on. A whole bunch of times.
Seymour?
Yeah, when he was alive, obviously. And I had to cut him off when later on in his life he'd get on a tangent and start talking about the Nazis and the war. I'm like, okay, we got to cut you off, Dad. We're asking you about the Lakers and you're talking about the Nazis and the war. We got to cut you off there. There you go.
I'm sure that was one of your most listened to segments.
Oh, every time people, they loved it. They loved having my dad on. It was
between
funny.
Your dad, my grandma on this show, who's acted as our resident Cavaliers expert at times.
Yes.
I mean, Alex, our guy, buddy from Bruetta Tea, who sponsors Brady and the Bunch, the podcast, he gave my Nana a LeBron James Cavaliers jersey for her assisted living facility.
Oh,
so,
how great is
so
that?
These family members become like part of our own listener family.
Wait a minute. There's one's a good one on the Telford Tower Tech Science. Says, Brady, if you hear banjos, just keep paddling. That's Nighthawk out there. Yeah, if you do hear banjos, you don't want to go ahead and stop. That's something you really don't want to go ahead and do. I don't want to give the real name of the camp. I do want to call it Cult Camp. Someone says, it's a beautiful camp. Brady, you're going to love it. That's a first-time texter.
Well, so maybe it's one of Rich's family members who's listening to us.
Yeah, but if that's somebody that's at the camp, I thought you're not allowed to listen to the radio. So that's why I'm not sure that it's somebody that's at the camp. Glenn says, in Moncton says, just make sure that you don't accept a cup of Kool-Aid at Rich's Cult Camp and you should be fine. Right. I said that yesterday.
It's like Shane in Burlington who told me yesterday, one of us. Am I going to come back corrupted from my 1 hour there?
You may. And my wife's already texting in, which I'm not going to read her text because she has a whole hour. So I don't know why she's texting in now. We have somebody on the line?
Yeah, I think Dan in Colchester.
Dan in Colchester. Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. What's going on, Dan?
Brady, I'm just making sure that you're aware that if you start hearing banjo music, I'd be heading for my car if I was.
I think I'm going to be fine. I'm just worried that, you know, because I know how Rich is with money, that he's going to charge me for my burger and hot dog.
He's going to charge you to pay for his burger.
Wait a minute, Dan. If I give you a choice of three, what's more likely to happen to Brady? Accidentally get shot with a bow and arrow, accidentally get shot with a slingshot, or accidentally get burned in the fire pit?
I'm going to give you four. He's going to love it so much he'll never come back.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
I see some accidents happening there. I don't want it to happen, but I see it happening.
I'm very, very excited. I just want to know how. I picture Rich being so. Like, usually when we're in the studio, Rich doesn't even talk to
us. No, he doesn't say a word.
So I'm picturing, though, Rich being so hyper focused on me liking Cult Camp that he's going to like be holding my hand, walking me around, and this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and this is where we do that. Rich is going to be the best tour guide you've ever had. I'm picturing Rich to be like a college tour guide where they show you around and try to sell you on the school and give them $50,000 a year. That's what I picture Rich doing.
That's hard for me to believe coming from a guy that just picked up a piece of paper and wrote Merry Christmas on it and signed his name. Or was that, wait, took one of our cards and crossed out our name and just said, here, Merry Christmas, and that was our Christmas card this year. I find that hard to believe, Brady, that he's going to go ahead and do that.
I think that he's going to be so because he's so offended when you talk bad about it. Like, he'd be just slaughtering. He'd be foaming at the mouth if he heard you calling it Cult Camp again this week.
He hates when I do that.
I know he does.
I love it, too.
Those were his words to me yesterday on Friday before he left for vacation. He goes, don't call it Cult Camp. Call it South Hero. He's going to be so hell-bent on me liking it that he's going to be like just holding my hand, telling me how great it is at every step of the way. I probably won't even be able to get it separated from Rich.
How much money do we have to raise for you to wear a shirt that says, hey, I'm here at Cult Camp? I'm serious.
I already had people around the office saying that I should like go do things to the camp just to irritate Rich.
Like what?
And like take like bring a sign that says out of order, put it on the bathroom just to like...
There's no bathrooms there. There's an outhouse.
All in nature.
I'm assuming.
Is that what he said?
I don't even know if there's an outhouse.
I'm picturing like a camp with central, with plumbing and everything.
I'm picturing him saying just... See the water there? There's the water. Go ahead, help yourself there. All right, we got a busy show. My wife joining us at 4 o'clock. Who the hell knows what's going to happen at 4 o'clock? Brady, what's coming up on the show, though, before them?
Remember, trivia tomorrow night, Arnie. You're going to be
there. I'll be doing that.
I'll be at Colt Camp. Yes. You'll be at trivia. So yes. 7 to 9 Eastern, City Sports Grill in Colchester. We're back at it. 14th Star Brewery's Valor Ale is on special for $4. Great prizes, giveaways to give away as well. As for today, Collins got the Celtics with the 8th best duo in the NBA. Are we agreeing with him there? The Red Sox are interested in starting pitching. But first, I got to ask you and congratulate you on...
Yes. A Met.
You're no longer Charlie Brown?
Yeah.
Pete Alonso wins the Derby, and now you can stop saying that, I'm like Charlie Brown, I'm never going to get to kick the football. This has to feel good for you, right?
I picked Vlad Jr. to win the whole thing before the...
On what? Your home run derby bracket? You already talked baseball.
My national show. I always do predictions at the end of the show, but it was nice for him to win it because the Mets have nothing going for them this year. But it really doesn't do much for me. I didn't get all excited about it.
Did you watch it?
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. It was just dragging too much for me. It was like the NBA slam dunk contest.
Oh, stop.
It is. It's
way better than the dunk contest.
Or the three-point shot contest.
Three-point shooting contest is good.
No, you know what? I enjoy a little bit of it, but after a while, you can always say, wow, look at that home run. Wow, look at that home run. Wow, that fastball at 32 miles an hour. Look at the slug that one. Look, it was nice. He won it, but I don't get into it. Matter of fact, except for maybe you baseball diehards, I bet you a lot of people didn't get into this. I don't think the young audience gets into it. And maybe I bet you over 50 people that are over 50 probably get into something
like
that.
In fact, the over 50 crowd, I think, is the ones that don't like the Derby.
I meant to tie it into the All-Star game, too. But
okay, All-Star game, I could give you that. But the Derby, I think, did appeal to young people. Intern Nick was raving about the Derby on Twitter. But I had the worst double play you could have yesterday in terms of negative things that I did with the Derby. So I went to Orange Theory last night, got out at 8:15 or whatever.
Right, right.
I get in my car at 8:04, and... I hit tape because I can control my DVR through my phone.
Oh, look at you.
And I hit tape on it so I can go home and watch it because I'm going to shower after Orange Theory. I'm not going to get into it until 9:15 or so.
What did it take, Teletubbies? No, go ahead.
No, so it taped it, but I taped the ESPN2 version.
Oh.
The ESPN2 version was all about the analytics and every home run. They're like, that home run was hit at this launch angle. That home run was hit at this speed. I'm like, just give me the guy going back, 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 back. Like, just give me that. So instead.
But you can always say back, back, back so many times, though.
I got the nerd version of the home run derby. And because I actually didn't even start watching until about 10.
Right.
Because
wow.
I ended up dinner, all that, shower.
Right, right, right.
So I don't end up watching until 10. So I get the nerd version of the home run derby. I don't get to watch the people going
back. So it wasn't
as
enjoyable because I didn't see the nerd version.
No, it wasn't as enjoyable because I taped the wrong one.
I thought you would like that, actually.
And then I made a point. Once I got home, I put my phone away. I don't want to see Twitter. I don't want to see who's winning. I don't want any texts about it. And so I realized at 10:45, as I'm in the middle of round one, I got to send a text message to Sean Parker because he and I were going to go golfing today in the early morning, and we decided to cancel. So I texted him, and I was like, hey, do you want to cancel golf tomorrow? As I'm texting him, MLB.com notification, Pete Alonso wins the Derby.
Ruined it for you.
So it was ruined for me from about the midway of round one. I've avoided human contact all night to try to see, so I can watch the Derby on my own like I have for the last 29 years.
Did you end up watching it?
I watched it, but it was no suspense
and on the geeky
for me
one,
at that
so
point.
Yeah.
So I had the geeky version, and I knew who won. But look, Alonso was great. Vlad Jr. was great. The new format is great. The only disappointment that I have is that the second round should be 3 minutes instead of four. It did go on a little too long.
We've changed it so much since the day, though. It has changed so much.
But 91 home runs for Vlad Jr. Alonso doubles his salary for the year on one night.
I know, because what is he making, $550 or something like that?
Yeah, he's making league minimum.
That's horrible. Absolutely horrible. What can you do? I mean, he's an exciting kid, but again, maybe for just this first year, we'll see what happens after that.
It was a lot of fun. I love watching the Derby, and I also like watching the celebrity softball game, but because I taped ESPN2, I didn't have the celebrity softball game, so that was strike three.
Who was good
for
in the celebrity softball game?
J.R. Smith played shirtless. Remember how he walked after the Cavs won the title? But you know what? And I don't mean to be cynical, but I kind of mean to be cynical. This last night, the Home Run Derby just proves to me even more so how the Red Sox need to re-up their farm system. They don't have anybody like that. They don't have a Vlad Jr. coming. They don't have a Pete Alonso coming.
No.
So when we bring
it back. Did the Mets know about Pete Alonso before he was Pete Alonso?
Well, he's drafted at the University of Florida, played on a team that went to the national championship.
So he was first round?
So he came with some pedigree.
Okay.
So he came with some lineage and pedigree. But, I mean, the Red Sox don't have anybody like that. I understand that Devers, Benintendi, Bogarts, Betts, I understand they graduated out of the farm system. So they have brought good farm system players there. But when we talk about the Derby last night, you look at it and say, man, baseball overall is in a pretty healthy place, at least talent-wise. Okay, I don't want to hear ratings. I don't want to hear money. I just want to hear talent-wise, baseball is in a pretty good place. The Red Sox don't have anybody like that on their farm system getting ready to come save the day.
Yeah, but that's what you sacrifice when you win a World Series. You sacrifice your farm system to get those veterans that you need down the stretch and to help you in the playoffs. And that's
it hasn't worked a lot of the time. Now that when
it went to work for that, yeah, it worked for them.
Did it though? Yeah, they won a World Series. When you traded Sale or when you traded Moncada for Sale,
yes,
that worked. But
Moncada wouldn't be in the minor leagues anyway, so it's still your AAA would still be
better. Well, he started out in AAA.
Right, but he'd be up by now.
But, I mean, so, you know, Kimbrel it worked for, Moncada, Sale it worked for, but there are others that it didn't work out for. It didn't work out for them when they traded for Addison Reed. It didn't work out for them when they traded for Kimbrel. Didn't work out, Ziegler.
Right.
It really didn't work out when they traded for Tyler Thornburg and they got rid of Travis Shaw because he didn't do anything for them last season. So there are times where it hasn't worked.
It proves my point, though, more than ever when you and Rich jumped on my throat when I said the odd man out is going to be Benintendi because they're not going to pay him all that money. And you guys just jumped on. You know, if the Red Sox were smart and they're not going to win a World Series this year, I'd trade him right now. You could probably get a good load for him and probably save yourself a boatload of money when his contract's up for renewal, but that's not for another 3 years, which is why you could probably get a boatload for him right now. I don't think you really need him, to be honest with you.
You do need him. You 100% need him.
You can't have it both ways. You're going to go complain about AAA, but you don't want to go ahead and give anything to get these AAA guys. Well, he's about the only thing you could pretty much give up.
Betts is a free agent in 2 years after next season.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give him up.
Okay, so Betts is a free agent after next year. Martinez has an opt-out after this year. We're going to get to that in about 10 minutes.
Right.
I got such uncertainty in the outfield. I can't go just trading Benintendi. And you're right. I do want to re-up the farm system. And it would help if they did trade Betts or Benintendi or Porcello or whoever. They're not going to be far enough out of it probably to go and make wholesale changes like that. So they just need to focus on the draft, international signing period, and it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be sexy. It's not going to happen overnight like it did for the Yankees. But last night just proved to me the Red Sox don't have anybody like that. And
are you talking about like an exciting home run, young home
I'm talking
run
about
hitter?
Just a young prospect. A young prospect that a fan base can get excited about, that like when you knew Betts was coming up, that you could put your arms around and embrace from age 18 on and watch him grow through the system. The Red Sox don't have that. The Yankees did it with Aaron Judge. You saw it with Sanchez. You saw it with all those guys. Red Sox don't have anybody like that.
Well,
right,
they have the one guy that you can't bring up. So
Castillo, that's not.
By the way, how's he doing this year? I'm just kind of curious. You know, it is kind of funny. It's the one that's the one prospect you do have, and you can't bring him up because of that damn contract.
Yeah,
and
but
the
he's
money,
like 29 years old.
I know.
At this point.
I don't even know what's going to happen to him after that. He just took the money and. I wonder if it was worth it, taking all that money, staying in the minor leagues and you know, not really getting a major league start. I wonder how it's going to play out for him when it's said and done.
He played most of 2015 with the Red Sox. And by the way, he's more than 30 years old now.
Wow. Wow. That's just insane. That's just insane. You know, he'd be called up in just about any other team. So
It's a baseball rule. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I'm not going to get into this.
Yeah.
Right now, by the way, Castillo is hitting .270 with... Yeah. 8 homers and 40 RBIs.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Well, that's the only guy they do have. You're right, though. It's pretty bare. But I'm okay with that, though. I mean, if you're just looking for the one exciting guy, you could always do that. I'm not so worried about the mass AAA or anything like that. I'm looking for just one or two prospects.
They need a whole overhaul of their farm system. They are.
Wow.
And when you talk about, Arnie, oh, look, I don't want to pay this guy. I don't want to pay that guy. I don't want to pay this guy. The Red Sox have to pay these guys because there's nobody there to replace them. They don't have anybody to replace them. There's a reason why the Tampa Bay Rays can let guys go. There's a reason why the Oakland A's can let guys go. They have a farm system that's built to come and replace those expensive players with cheaper options that are almost just as good or will eventually be better. The Red Sox don't have that. They have to go out and spend on JD Martinez. They have to go out and re-sign Chris Sale. They have to bring in David Price because there's nobody coming up.
Yeah, but only recently, though. Like you said, the Betts, the Benintendi, they had their...
Yes, they did.
They did have a farm system, so they didn't have to go ahead and do that at that point, though.
Yes, they had a farm system swoon, and you see how it worked for them and that they were able to use that farm system to cultivate their own players like Betts, Bradley, Bogarts, Benintendi, etc. But it also, they were able to use it to go out and acquire Kimbrel, Sale, etc. Having that farm system does a whole lot for you. Again, look at what the Yankees are doing. They use that prospect depth to acquire, you know, to bring in good players of their own, like Judge and Sanchez, etc. And they can go out and trade prospects for established veterans that can help you try to win.
Time for a tire text on. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Doug says the last time I watched the Derby is when Josh Hamilton toured of the Yankees. I lost all interest in the Home Run Derby. I've never missed it up to that point.
So that was like 10 years ago. 2007, yeah. I think, was...
You want to talk about a wasted talent, too, huh?
Hamilton?
Yeah, wow.
Won an MVP, I think.
Yeah, well, plus, I mean, the talent that this guy had and what he did for the Rangers, and then he went to the Angels,
and
I believe
he was awful for the Angels.
Yeah, really just destroyed his own career because of drugs and stuff like that. Horrible.
But the Derby was great yesterday. Again... The new format where you can swing, the only thing that ticked me off, really, and this will sound like get off my lawn guy, was I didn't like the inconsistency of the way the rules were applied yesterday. You're not supposed to throw the ball until the previous ball lands.
Right.
So whether it's out of the park or whether it pop up to the pitcher's mound, you're not supposed to throw until the ball lands. Some people were following that. Some people weren't. And it was like I started feeling like some guys got more swings than other guys because they were following the rules. Like there's this little useless umpire out there who's supposed to be telling
you
when you
can throw.
Yeah,
but he's not doing anything, yeah.
I understand baseball wants to see the ball jump out of the yard. And I'm for that because that's what the Derby is. But at least have the rules be consistent so that they're all getting followed.
I'm surprised they just don't use a machine. You know what I mean? Why don't they just use a pitching machine? That way they could do it like once every 3 seconds. You know, there's like a... you can set a timer or something like that.
And it bothered me because when I was watching my geek version, I couldn't see, you can't even see where the one ball is, and all of a sudden the next ball's going up. The next ball's going up. So I don't even know where one ball's landing, and all of a sudden I can only watch the ticker in the top left as to how many homers they actually have because I can't actually follow four balls at once.
Is that a bucket list thing for you?
I would if I was in a position to go to the All-Star game, I would do all of them. I would do the Futures game. I would do celebrity softball. I would do the Derby. I'd do the game. I don't need to do, I wouldn't say, I just have to see the Derby. I'd want to see the whole All-Star experience.
You want to go do the whole experience and enjoy the whole thing.
Yeah.
Some guy at at Orange Theory, a buddy of mine, you know him, he works out with me. He said he saw the Stones last night. And I'm thinking, he's like, the Rolling Stones? I'm like, really? I guess they were in Foxborough?
Huh.
Did I get that right? Talk about a bucket list thing. What would you do, the Stones or the All-Star game?
I see the All-Star game. What do I care about the Rolling Stones?
Well, they're not going to be around, too much longer.
No, but I didn't grow up with the Rolling Stones.
No, still, there's a lot of people that haven't grown up with them that would love to see them. I bet you more of our listeners would pick that than the All-Star game.
Yes, of course they would.
By 2-1 margin, to be honest.
Of course they would.
802-655-6672 if you want to go ahead and jump on in. All right, Brady, off and running. Remember, my wife coming up at 4 o'clock. Who knows what the hell's going to happen there. What's coming up next, though?
Red Sox reportedly want starting pitching, and they want it soon. So who can they get?
All right, we'll get into that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
They call him the stinking genius. But is he really that smart?
Yeah.
Find out what Arnie is thinking next on the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Tuesday out there. One little side note, Brady, you saw this. You read this in the industry's website. I'm going to be on the Sports Hub in Boston. They're going to hate me. There's no doubt. They're going to hate me. By the way, do they carry what? The Bruins?
The Patriots.
The Patriots.
They have
and the
Celtics.
Yeah, they have the Celtics. They don't have the Red Sox.
So Red Sox or WEI.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be preemptive because I'm at 11 o'clock at night Eastern, Saturday and Sunday. But, gosh, the Boston people are going to hate my guts because I'm from New York and I hate everything about them.
Are you going to talk? Do you talk bad about Boston on the national show?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I do the stupid Boston accent. I do everything.
Well, I guess, Tommy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I start with, let me park the car and that gets me rolling after that. So we'll be on Boston. and Saturday. And so
are they listening to you at 1 a.m?
Oh, let me tell you something. That station rocks. Absolutely rocks. They listen to that station 24/7.
Do you get more money for going into a big market?
I wish. I wish. I wish. But the first time I rip Tom Brady or say the Patriots are going to suck, they're just going to attack me. They're just going
to. So you welcome that. That's what you feed on that.
I do feed on that. But that's, you know, that's a whole city. That's millions of them that are going to feed on
me. Well, your wife can do enough of that same damage with one person here in a half hour.
So anyway, I'm excited about that. We'll see how that works out. All right, get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day brought to you by Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and corporate gifts. Get your company noticed with your company logo on shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, blankets, and more with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic points out that the Red Sox are interested in starting pitching on the trade market, and they want it, quote, sooner rather than later. I have my idea on what the Red Sox should do. I have my idea on my stance on what they should do. But when you hear they want starting pitching, what's your first reaction?
Well, if they're going to go for starting pitching, I want the big boys. You know what I mean? I want somebody that's got a little pop. I want somebody that I feel that could be a 15-game winner. You know, I want to steal like one of those Mets pitchers. I want to, you know, give me somebody you know, that I'm going to enjoy for years on. And I don't care if they're 29, 30 years old. I just want somebody that I'm going to have for about 3 years, three good years, without really paying a king's ransom. I know that's going to wipe out some of the Mets there. But at this point, you got to do something because you're not going to win a World Series with what you've got right now. It's just not going to happen this year.
Here are the Red Sox two options. They can go for a rental player that doesn't cost a lot, like Tanner Roark of the Reds, okay?
Exactly. Who?
So Tanner Roark of the Reds.
I have more breadsticks, please.
He's a guy on a one-year, $10 million deal. He's a rental player. He's not going to cost that much, so he doesn't bring you a lot of payroll there. So you can bring him in. He's got a 3.51 ERA. Or you go for the guy who is under team control for a bunch of years, like you're talking about. Matthew Boyd of the Tigers is a lefty who's one of them, who Dombrowski brought in to Detroit, so there's a relationship there. But I don't think you're getting the elite-level rental player. You're not getting Madison Bumgarner. The Red Sox don't have that. I don't think they have any opportunity to go get Bumgarner. I think they're looking at a low-level rental player that doesn't cost them a lot in terms of money or prospects, or they're looking at a guy who's going to be here for a while but costs you a lot to acquire because he's got so many years left.
Well, you have pieces to move around if you want to, you know, break up the you know, the top club. If you want to go ahead and trade some of the pieces there, I'm sure you can go ahead.
Do you want to trade Devers? Do you want to trade Benintendi?
I will think about trading depending on what I'm going to get in return. That's not out of the question. Why is that off the table? I mean,
am I going to trade Devers, a guy who has 5 years left on his rookie contract?
No, I'm not going to trade Devers.
Who's not making a lot of money?
But you better make it. You have to make a decision now on what you want to do about the high price ones. Like I said, Benintendi, Mookie Betts. Because if you don't plan on giving them $350 million, then you want to rebuild the farm system, here's the chance to do it. Don't be afraid. Don't tell me, oh, no, I'm going to keep him until the end, and then I'm going to let him walk away and get nothing.
You don't get nothing in baseball. You get a compensatory pick in the first round.
That's nothing. You know what? Look, you're going to do it right or you're going to do it wrong. I always told you this, right? You know, when we talked about the Celtics, I said, you know, if you're going to go, if Kyrie doesn't want to be around, then get rid of him. You know what? If somebody doesn't want to be around, then get rid of him. If you're not going to sign...
But these guys do say they want to be around.
But no, they only want to be around if you're going to give them $400 million, if that's what Betts means. Because Betts isn't going to be around if you offer him $200 million. So that's baloney. Don't fall for this crap. They say the right things, Brady. Don't be like the guy when the girl goes, oh, I love you, I love you, and she's cheating on you with somebody else. Don't believe that crap. He'll only stay when you give him the money. If you don't give him the money, he's not going to stay. Look at Kemba Walker.
Just said 15 minutes ago, I'm not trading Mookie Betts. You just said that 15 minutes ago. Now you're trading Mookie Betts.
I'll give you Kemba Walker. He told Charlotte, oh, I love you guys. Give me a discount. I'll sign for a discount. Well, they gave him too much of a discount. Blank you. I'll go get more money somewhere else. You loved it 2 minutes ago, right?
You're missing the point on this.
I
will make a trade for a guy who's got 3 years of team control. I'm not trading for a rental player. One, I don't have the prospects to go get Madison Bumgarner. And the prospects that I do have, if the Giants said, yeah, I'll take your top two prospects for Bumgarner, I'm not doing that for a half a season. I'm not doing it for half a season when I don't think I'm good enough to win the World Series anyways. I will trade for a guy. I'll go take a guy like Matthew Boyd in Detroit who's not a free agent until after 2022. That gives me half of 2019, all of 20, all of 21, all of 22. I will take that guy for 3.5 years. I'll give up all the prospects you want to go get that guy because it's not going to be just this year. The Red Sox won't win the World Series this year at this juncture. They might win it next year. They might win it the year after that. I'll take Matthew Boyd, who can help me for the long term, but I'm not giving away what limited resources I have for a rental player when I'm not good enough to win anyways.
When you tell me...
You're 9 games behind the Yankees. I'm going to go sacrifice what limited farm system I had to go get Bumgarner to try to, have a one-game playoff? No, thank you.
But when you tell me you can't do this because you don't have the farm system, so that's off the table, you know? Or when you tell me the Celtics can't do this because they're in this position... Well, you know what? Then somebody's got to take the blame for that because other teams can do that.
Yes, Dave Dombrowski takes the blame.
Other teams were able to get two-plus max deals in basketball. Other teams have pieces to move around. So when you tell me the Red Sox can't do this and the Red Sox can't do that, then what you're really saying is Dombrowski's done a crappy job. Because you've
said it from the start.
I'm the only one that said Dombrowski's done a bad job, especially with the contracts. We talked about Hanley. We talked about who else did we send away packing?
Sandoval. Not all of these guys were
that,
him.
But I'm the only one that brings up those crappy contracts.
I have said all along that Dombrowski has put the team in a position to be hamstrung. But everyone keeps coming back to me that if you win the World Series, it was worth it. So that is now the situation that we are in. The Red Sox won the World Series. That because they did that, people have been willing to, they said at least, they were willing to let Dombrowski slide with some of this stuff. Okay? And Ty in Canada is a Tigers fan. He listens to us every day.
Right.
He's texted us in 100 times in the last year and a half. You better win the World Series because if you don't, the Red Sox are going to end up looking like the Detroit Tigers, who are a mess that Dombrowski left behind. He did the same.
Yeah, but they're not a mess. You just said you think they can win it next year and the year after, so they're not a mess.
Okay, Dombrowski pulled the same stuff in Detroit. Okay, he got Price to a long-term. He traded for Price, sacrificed the farm system. He signed Cabrera, hamstrung the organization. He signed Kinsler, hamstrung the organization. He signed Verlander, that big deal. He signed, trade away Max Scherzer. Like, there were a lot of things there that Dombrowski did that because the Tigers didn't win, now look really bad. The Red Sox have won, so people have justified it. I'm telling you now, he has put the team in a tough position where they can't do a whole lot of maneuvering. What I'm willing to do is, I love the farm system more than anybody. If I can go get Matthew Boyd of the Tigers or somebody like him who has 3.5 years of team control left and isn't making a lot of money, then I will clear out some of my farm system because I don't need all of those guys if I can go get a guy who's there for 3.5 years.
If you're going to tell me I'm not going to catch the Yankees anyway, and by the way, the Yankees, were they 12 games out at this point? How many years ago? 19... I forget the year.
Like 79 or
76. And they came back and won the division. So that's beside the point. The Mets also had to overcome a 1-2, but
don't ignore the best one. 95 Mariners, 13 games out August 1st, won the division.
That is the best one. But if you're going to tell me they're not going to catch the Yankees anyway, I'm not playing for just a wild card. I hope I get in and I hope I go ahead and make a run at things, but I'll just let things sit then. I'll just go ahead and not do anything. That if that's what you're telling me, I won't replenish the farm system. I'll go through the season. I'll get in the playoffs maybe if we're lucky. Maybe I'll lose in that first one game or maybe I'll lose in the first round. And then I'm screwed. So, I mean, you're not going to leave me much of an option at this point.
You're not going to catch the Yankees. You're nine games behind. So I'm not willing to make a drastic big move for just this year. I will make a big move if it helps me this year and for multiple years beyond, which is what a guy like Matthew Boyd would do. But I am not getting rid of my farm system, depleting what little resources I have, of which I have about nothing. I have about 3 guys that are worth anything right now in the farm system. I'm not getting rid of those guys to make a run at maybe this year with Madison Bumgarner because you're not going to catch the Yankees.
I wonder if somebody called you up and wanted one of your strong pieces and offered you so much of a return with the farm system, what you would say. Because, you know, I would say, I don't know how the hell these guys, you know, prospects get you fired, but you may do something like that. That's all. You know,
I can't trade Benintendi. I can't. And the reason why is because I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of my outfield. I could trade Benintendi, then lose Betts and Martinez in free agency and be left with nothing but Jackie Bradley, who's the worst of the four. So I can't trade Benintendi because of the uncertainty. I also barely have one outfielder to come up from the minor leagues. Nevertheless, I certainly don't have 3 to go replace all of them.
But if you traded one, then I'm assuming you're going to get one in return. That's going to be an up-and-comer. The reason you have to trade Benintendi is because I'm not giving him 150 or 200 million.
I'm not worried about 4 years from now.
You better. You see, that's the problem. You've got that's where Dombrowski makes the mistake. He holds on to people too long and they'll walk away, or he's not thinking how much he's going to owe them in 3-4 years from now. And there's his other mistake.
Benintendi is not a free agent until after. I mean, until after the 2022 season. So I got 3.5 years left.
Well, that means you have tons of value in him. So with the value there, and you're not going to catch the Yankees, well, here's your chance, man. Look, I'm not going to miss Benintendi. You guys seem to love him.
So you want to lose him, Betts, and Martinez. Well, so you want to lose all three of them.
Why am I going to lose Betts if I'm going to give him the $350 million?
You don't want to give him that.
But you keep telling me we're going to give it to him. So if we're going to give Betts the $350, I'm going to get rid of Betts. Look, I'm going to make this clear. You're only keeping one. So you're either going to give Betts the $350 or the $400, or you're going to have to pay Benintendi. You get to choose one.
If Martinez leaves, then I clear off his money. I can keep them both.
Yeah, I'm not giving Benintendi that type of money.
So I'm just saying, if Martinez leaves, then I can keep both.
You can keep both, but I'm not giving Benintendi that money. So that's going to be a wasted money. You're going to waste your money giving him that type. You're just going to waste it. 802-655-6672. Go ahead and jump on in. We'll get your thoughts on that. Brady, what do you want to get to next?
They said what?
They said what's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
Sports. Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, the game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle, 101.3, the game. By the way, Randy and St. Albans said, is it just me or is it Arnie a little extra worked up today? Am I a little extra worked up today?
You're definitely a little extra worked up.
Wow.
Because I think you're a little nervous about your wife being in here.
I'm nervous that you can only hit the dump button twice on her cursing.
Is she going to be inappropriate? Is that what you're telling me?
Let me ask you a question. How many times can you hit the dump button? Twice?
You can hit it like once every 2 minutes.
That's a problem.
Does she have a bad mouth?
Yes. Yes. That's going to be a problem.
Your son is so nice. He didn't pick up either one of your languages.
No, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
She's out front, by the way. Since she used to work here, she's out front.
I didn't go outside. I just stayed here.
She's mingling with everyone out front, and they're just having this big love fest with each other.
I'm not going outside. Justin says, I actually agree with Arnie here. Get what you can. Betts is the best outfielder they have, and Benny is the most value. Get what you can and keep the better player win-win.
Except for the fact you don't know that Benintendi is going to stay here. Or I'm rather, Betts is going to stay here.
Oh, he'll stay if you give him the money.
You don't know that.
Oh, I do know that. I do know. Believe me, I do know
What if two teams are going to offer? This isn't the NBA where one team can offer far much more than another. What if two teams offer him $350? What if the Red Sox offer him $400, but he says, I'll take $375 to not be there and be somewhere else?
Wow, I didn't know he hated Boston so much.
I'm just saying, what if he did that? You don't know that. Look, he's from the Nashville area.
Right.
Okay. If the Atlanta Braves came calling closer to home where he likes the South, what makes you think he wouldn't go there? I would be nervous about Betts' future.
We'll see if Atlanta's going to give him that money. Justin says, just because Arnie would not do it, it doesn't make it a bad deal. Benny's worth 5-year, $110 million. I like that. Yeah, sure. 5-year, $110 million, but
that's what Martinez makes.
He's going to get more than that.
If he opts out.
Wake up and smell the roses there, my friend.
But I'm saying to you, right now the Red Sox have J.D. Martinez under a 5-year, $110 million deal. That's what they are paying him, roughly $22 million a year. Okay, one of two things is going to happen. Actually, three things. He could stay on his current deal and just opt in at that $22 million. He could do that. He could opt out and leave, which now clears $22 million off your payroll, which could help you pay Benintendi in the future. Or you're going to pay Martinez a lot more.
A new contract.
To keep him around.
Yeah, I'm not doing
things
that.
Are gonna get, so you're not going to pay Martinez.
I'm not.
Okay. So you're not going to pay Martinez. So fine. You're going to clear up money for Benintendi in the future. So there you go.
Why? Is he opting out? You think he's going to opt out for sure?
Martinez?
Yeah.
He's 100% going to opt
out. Okay. Well. Whether, send me a postcard where you end up.
Whether he comes back to Boston or not,
I don't know. Oh, he's not coming back to Boston because I'm not giving him the money.
He's not paying. Mm. He's not playing under that deal anymore.
Okay, well, I'll miss you.
I mean, he's already said. he said yesterday that he's got, number one, he's got Scott Boras for an agent. Number two, he pays Boras to make the decisions, and he's pretty much going to do what Boras tells him.
How did
Boras
work out the first time for him?
Well, he ended up with a 5-year, $110 million deal.
It worked out late.
Yeah, I understand that. It came late. But I bet you with how Martinez is hit, he's going to opt out and he's going to try to negotiate a better deal with Boston, or he's going to leave.
Understandable. He should, but I'm not giving it to him.
Okay. So, yeah. so once more, the money will be open, and you won't have much of an ability to gripe.
I'm not, but you see, I'll give it to Betts. Even if I have the money, I'm not going to give it to Benintendi. Okay? Maybe I didn't say it right. He's not getting the money whether I have it or not.
Because what? You don't think he's a good player?
I don't think he's going to be worth it. I think he really is a 270 hitter, 260 hitter. And he's not a leadoff hitter. He's kind of like in between. What is he going to give you 30, 40 home runs? I don't think so.
I think he's
going
to
give you 100 RBIs? I don't think so.
I think he's going to hit you 24, 25 home runs a year. I think he's going to be a guy who can get you, depending on where he is in the order and the lineup around him, 80 to 100 RBIs every year.
No, I don't think that much.
You would have said the same thing about Xander Bogaerts, and now Bogaerts is an all-star who's hitting more than 300.
Xander. I'm the one that likes Xander.
You wouldn't have paid him. When they gave him the extension, you wouldn't have paid him either.
I know you got to pay some people. I got to pay somebody. I got to have a team. You got to pay somebody.
You only want to pay people 3 years, $8 million.
Got to pay somebody, Brady. Let's get to the whatever we're doing here. They said what?
They said what?
Colin Cowherd today on The Herd ranking the best duos in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, that was
who does he have at number one? Well, you wouldn't be surprised.
We've got a lot of these duos now, and I don't recall a time in my life where we had this many duos. A few years ago, it felt like it was groups of three. You know, it was like Rondo, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Bosh, D-Wade, LeBron. Now it's duos, so I thought best for last. My top 10 current duos in the NBA.
Number one.
I think it's Kawhi and Paul George. They averaged 55 a game last year, most by any current duo. Paul George at the All-Star break was the MVP leader. Kawhi won the finals MVP.
Number one duo in the league, Kawhi, Paul George. See, this is a list that's actually fun
to me. So you like this list?
Yes.
You're not a list guy.
No, this is a list that's actually fun to me.
I would probably agree with that, one or two. You know, again, Kawhi did wear down at the end of the season last year, but there's no doubt he's either the first or second best player in the NBA, and now that Kevin Durant's hurt, he's the best guy. So I have no problem with him coming with that number one ranking.
It's interesting. Look, it probably is number one, but it's interesting to note that it's interesting to note just kind of how the idea of a duo has changed, because we used to think of it as Shaq and Kobe, big man guard, Stockton Malone,
now
big man guard.
Guys.
Okay, now it's just any two guys who are good players on your team, and it doesn't matter if they're two big guys. I mean, he's got Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis there in Dallas. They were number six on the list. He's got CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, both guards at number five in Portland. So just the idea that, I mean, here's Kawhi Leonard, a small forward, and Paul George, a small forward, that they could be the number one duo, because we always think of it as guys that could play off of each other. And when I think of a duo, I think of it that way. Okay, who can we run the pick and roll with? Who's the big guy that can pass to the little guy in the post? Like, I think of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in Denver as a great duo, because it follows that traditional idea. Look, I mean,
look at the Lakers. LeBron's playing point guard now.
LeBron at AD, and LeBron's still 6'9 or whatever.
Yeah,
and
point guard.
He's going to be a 6'9 point guard.
That's not going to work out, by the way.
LeBron playing point guard?
Yeah, that's
he
not
already
work out.
Was playing point guard. Yeah, but they just weren't calling him the point guard.
The only difference I see is if he thinks he's going to bring it up the court, I'm going to press him and wear him down. And he's not going to want to do that. He can't be worn down trying to break a press by himself. Somebody else is going to have to bring it up to half court, and then he'll take it over from there. If he thinks he's going to dribble it up, I'll press him. That's going to wear him down during an 82-game season. You can't do that.
But most teams aren't going to say, I mean, most teams, if they're going to have LeBron be guarded by someone 6'6", is that guy? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
if they're going to put someone 6'9 on him, they're not going to be able to keep up with LeBron,
that's
likely.
True too. That's
and if they're
going
to put someone 6'1 on him, then LeBron will just bully him.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it works out with him, though. I'm not so sure that's the best move. I still think I would have gone with who'd they pick up, Avery Bradley and
Rondo.
And Rondo. So I don't see what the problem is with those two guys.
Well, Bradley's not a point guard, but Rondo certainly is.
Close enough.
They said what?
Brady and the Bunch podcast today. Very, very exciting. Arnie, have you ever heard of the reality TV show Below Deck?
No, never heard of it.
Okay, it is on Bravo. Have you ever watched Bravo?
Yeah, I've watched Bravo.
Okay.
They have Law and Order on that channel, I think.
No, definitely not. So it's like with Real Housewives and
all that.
So Bravo has this show called Below Deck, and it follows a crew as they go through the luxury yachting industry. And so they're on luxury yachts. They're in the Caribbean. They're in the Mediterranean. And so it follows the crew with themselves, the crew with the passengers, the crew, you know, as they with civilian life when they're outside doing things. Well, one of the stars of this season's episodes is from Burlington.
Oh, how cool.
So her name is Anastasia Sermava, and she is from Burlington. She's a luxury yachting person, and she now lives She now lives in Sri Lanka.
Wow.
So she was visiting Burlington again to see her family. She came in studio and hung out with me and Mary from Star 92.9, and we, because Mary's a huge reality TV person.
Okay.
So we did this podcast together, and Anastasia talked about how do you go from Burlington High School to luxury super yachting in the Caribbean.
So between then, January and May, obviously we got a little bit more friendly and we started dating. We did the trip. It was 3 weeks, and by the end he was like, "You're an amazing cook. You don't get seasick. There's this industry where people like you and me can run people's like sailing yachts." You know, smaller motor yachts. And I was like,
So she started dating a guy from that was in Vermont. He just goes to her randomly, there's this whole business out there, and we need one other person on our trip to Greece. So she did it, loved it, and then never came back.
And so she's like a private cook on one of these yachts or something?
On the show, she's not the cook, but she's kind of stepped in and done some of the cooking stuff. Yeah, so she's on this luxury super.
That's a pretty good gig, isn't it, what?
She said it's very, very tough, actually. So she talked about why she likes being on the show.
You know what I really love about Below Deck is that it is a very true representation of what happens in the yachting industry. And nobody knows about the yachting industry. It's this, like, crazy, like, fairy tale kind of thing that nobody kind of knows about. And it's fun to be able to actually show what we do, because I come home and I try and explain it to my friends and family. They're like, "You what? With who? How many hours do you work?"
So they work like 18 hours a day because they live on the ship.
What?
So like these people buy out private charters and they do it for 2 days at a time. And you work 18 hours a day because it's all about the guests. It was crazy. It was super fun. We talked about reality TV. It was actually super deep also. So that's online.
What a crazy job that is.
So it was online. So Anastasia Sermava from Burlington, luxury yachting reality TV star. So it's available online, 1013thegame.com, Spotify, Spreaker. You can subscribe, rate, review. It's on Twitter and Facebook as well. And it's all thanks to our friends over at Brewetta Tea. If you want to buy Brewetta Tea for your business, for your personal use, you can do it online at Brewetta.com. That's Brewetta.com. Or since we live in the Champlain Valley, we're lucky to have our buddy Alex, who works at Brewetta.com, live in our area. So you can message him, alex@brewetta.com, again, if you're interested.
All right. The hour one in the books, the hour you've been waiting for. My wife comes on in for the middle hour of the show. Who the hell knows what we're going to talk about? That's coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The day. All right, so you have an Amazon Echo. Just ask your Echo device to enable 101.3 The Game. Then anytime you want to listen, just say, open 101.3 The Game. The huddle is back on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Tuesday out there. Not all accounted for. Rich is off. It is cult camp. Brady and I sitting in. And, of course, every day this week in the 4 o'clock hour, we bring in a new guest. Yesterday was Travis in Milton. Today, by popular demand, it's my wife, Beth, who already has complained that she didn't have water offered to her.
No, you would have thought that they would have offered me water in the lobby. Thank goodness you could fetch it for me.
It's the hour up already. It's the hour up already. You've complained that not only that you didn't have water, why you have to wear the headphones.
They're very hot.
And they're very hot. They haven't been used all day.
And
they're very large.
And you won't.
That's what we do in this business.
And you won't spit out your gum.
No.
Okay, so
we're
off to a very good start here. I can see that.
And you've yelled at her about her computer usage.
Yeah, you're on the computer checking emails.
Shh, I'm not supposed to be here.
Don't you think anybody at your work is going to listen to the show today, maybe, perhaps?
They're all working.
We have a podcast, 1013thegame.com.
Listen, at UniFirst, we are dedicated and we work. Not like some salespeople.
Now you know why I say salespeople don't work. Because of people like my wife.
Hey, I was here. When I occupied space in this building, I was here every day until 6.
That's because the show ended at 6.
The show ended.
Take
me home.
Even the times that Arnie, you guys were out on remote or whatever. I stayed till 5:30.
She's getting her serious face.
Anyways, let's go. Oh.
Michelle in Underhill says Beth is great, and Steve wants to know, at what point did you realize Arnie will never change?
Ooh.
I've changed.
Arnie, I have to tell you, has changed. If you notice, he does not use a double negative in a sentence anymore.
Who cares about that?
That was a huge thing.
Wait a minute. He's like, I'm not ugly like that.
That's the only thing. Somebody asked you how I changed, and I haven't used a double negative.
He doesn't use salt. He doesn't salt his food before tasting it.
Is this the best part of me?
I don't use salt? You've changed a lot.
I don't use salt.
I think he's implying that Arnie has, like, his negative qualities have never gotten better.
And Arnie doesn't really have a lot of negative qualities.
Oh, my God. There you go. Jeez.
You see, Brady, you do not understand my husband. You just don't get it.
Don't get it. You're going to have to move a little bit closer to the microphone.
Don't be afraid of the microphone.
I am not afraid of the microphone.
When you yell at me, you're not afraid to get close to me. Don't be afraid of the microphone.
No. Yeah. It's one day, Brady, you will understand my husband.
One day. I've worked with him I'm radio married to him for the last 3 years. I think I know him pretty well.
No.
I know what makes him tick and what makes him, I know what makes him angry.
If you think he's a mean guy.
I've never once said to anybody that Arnie was a mean guy. Never once have I ever said that.
I gotta read this one. Ethan in Hinesburg, thanks for ruining my ride home today. The last thing I want to hear is Arnie and his wife. Arnie is dumber than I tell people. Talk about sports. So how do you?
First of all, Ethan.
Wow.
My husband is not dumb.
Wow. But you see, you got to take the insults with the kind words too.
Oh well, thank you for the insult. That was very kind of you.
You see, you got to take both ways. Okay. You know, if you're going to take the compliments, you got to take the insults.
I'm insulted that you think I don't know Arnie. I know it. Don't think I don't know Arnie. I know what's going to get him heated on the basketball
court.
Don't
let her get you upset. She's just you're playing into her hands here. What is wrong with you?
I know where you get your antagonistic style from. It comes from home.
Absolutely. She's totally like that.
A bad influence on you, Arnie.
I want you to confirm one story because people don't believe me.
Okay.
I know Arnie well, and I believe I know him better than a lot of other people. I already know where he's going to go with this, and he hasn't even gone there yet.
All right, go, Arnie.
Who asked who?
I knew it! Boom!
To get married.
Knew
well,
it.
Well, you know.
You asked
funny
me.
Funny you should bring this up.
Wait, I'm saying that you asked me to get married. And
that's
I said,
right. So okay, this is how it went down.
Yeah, this is how it went down.
Arnie's friend Keg.
By the way, Justin Wilson said, Rich, come back.
Arnie's friend Keg.
Yeah.
And his wife had been married, and they did everything separate. Even she was still sleeping at home. Remember? What was her name? They got divorced.
Susan, yes.
So Keg was married to Susan.
Yes. And Susan still was living with her mother half the time.
Yeah, and I said, we're more married than Keg and Susan.
That was after I had just come home and picked up Arnie's dry cleaning. And he said,
we can speed up the story.
Yes, so I said, well, when are we getting married? And he's like, well.
3 years, I said.
Then you started the whole contract thing, remember?
I said, I have my contracts up in 3 years. Why don't we get married in 3 years? And that's when you go, I don't think so.
That's exactly right. I said, I'm not waiting that long.
What, the biological clock was running or what was
going on?
That's
right. I was like, what, 30?
And let's be honest, you knew a really good thing when you saw it.
That's right. Because I do have to tell you, I was dating lots of very, very, I don't know, successful men.
Okay.
But you were dating lots of successful men?
Yes, I had many men.
You had many suits? Oh
wow,
my God.
Look at you.
No, I did.
I wish I would have known about this before.
I was a ski instructor. Put it together. I was going off on little ski trips, and these guys were sending me airline tickets to go skiing, whatever, and none of them were really sweet and nice. Arnie was...
Wait. You would take free airline tickets with men you didn't know to go skiing?
I knew them, Arnie. I had met them. They would say,
I don't
come
even
want
to know what happened. I don't want to know. Can we wrap this up?
Sure.
Can we get to the top four and four?
Yeah, let's get to the top four and four.
I chose you.
There
sweetheart.
You go. Top four and four. Let's get right at it. I'm starting
We've
to get sick.
We've got 3 hours of show to cover every day. But here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top four at four on the huddle on 101.3 The Game. Number four.
I've completely changed the top four at four.
Did you change the whole thing around?
Yeah, because I just have four. I have four questions for each of you.
Oh, that's fantastic. So Let's do this.
So the top four at four is four questions. So number four is for Beth. Beth, what is the most irritating thing that Arnie does around the house?
Oh, my God. There's a whole list.
Please give them all.
Yes,
please. please. We have 14 minutes left in this segment. Yeah, so we got time for about 3 minutes on each. So
besides walking around naked.
That's the most irritating image I've ever had. So.
By the way, you're boring Ethan. He's changing the VPR.
Okay,
now,
I will tell you that probably the most irritating thing that he does, and I have zoned it out now, is when he's doing his national show, he walks from the other end of the house to the bedroom on the, you know, the before the hour break, the top of the hour break, and he shuffles like his father with the slippers to wash his face and go to the bathroom when there's a bathroom right next to the office.
You have a bathroom next to the office,
yes.
And you shuffle.
And I shuffle. I'll turn on all the lights.
And it's exactly. Like 1 o'clock
yes.
In the morning.
Yes, and I'll make sure I turn on all the lights and that she can hear me, and then
he'll
and I'll wake her up, and then I'll go back to my office.
Are you tired?
Yeah, no, I was only asleep already.
I have to get up at 5, Arnie. Oh, well, you know what it's like.
I do that every weekend. I do that.
Does he do any dishes around the house?
No.
When's the last time Arnie washed a dish?
When I was in Montreal. But only one, because he ate out every meal.
I do that when she's gone.
Why does he not walk the dogs, ever?
That's a great question.
Yeah, Arnie, why don't you walk the dogs?
Let's dive into this for the whole hour.
No, that's what you stop. I don't walk the dogs because I don't want to take that pleasure away from you. I know you love that. By the way, you're bombing so far. James in South Burlington said this is officially awful. I'll see you guys
fantastic.
After 5. Though some people do like you.
Okay.
A lot of questions like, Kaylee wants to know, how did Arnie propose? Is
he
Beth
didn't.
A swinger? Please
I'm
tell
not
us,
a swinger.
Please tell us more stories about these ski instructor stories Brian wants to know. You know, and just the hope. I can't keep up with the text, right?
Dwight says, fire Rich. We want to hear Arnie interact with Beth every day.
Yes. Okay, when do we go on to the question for Arnie?
I got in a second.
Relax.
That's number 3.
Follow the format here. We put together a show. It takes us a long time.
I know you prepare all morning.
Tim and Williston, I'm blown away. They are totally in love. Good for you both. And Glenn and Moncton, I think we would all be lucky to find a Beth, even after all the cooking comments and voice imitations. She defends him on the radio.
Yeah.
They should replace Chris St. Christopher with her.
Yeah, let's be honest. Tell everybody you're not a good cook.
I'm a great cook. Oh, you eat like a 4-year-old.
Question number 3.
Go ahead. Question
number 3.
Arnie, this is my question for you. Who pressures Shea more in the hockey career, you or Beth?
This is actually a real easy one. It's Beth.
Really?
There's no doubt in my mind. We can't watch a game together. Even if it's on TV or like on the...
on a streaming site?
Streaming site. I have to watch it in one room. She's another. If we're in the rink together, I'll be opposite of where she's sitting.
Like because she's worse
side.
Than you?
Brady, the real story is that Shea drives that bus.
If he gives up one bad goal, you have to look at him and do the brush off sign like, that's okay. Brush it off. What are you doing? He doesn't have to look at you every time he gives up a goal, Beth.
He drives that bus, Brady.
So there's no pressure at all?
No. So it all started. I swim competitively.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. That's not what he asked
you. No. I swim competitively. And when I was entering 7th grade, my parents said, you're done. And the girl that sometimes I won, sometimes she won, she went on to the Olympics.
Okay. So you could have been in the Olympics.
I was a really, really good swimmer, but I don't think I had the drive that Shea has. And when Shea started hockey, I said, you tell us when you're done, you're done.
Okay.
It's not us. You drive the bus, and we'll just take you.
All right, on that note, Brady, I will make you a bet.
Hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, you make the bet first.
Real quick, I will beat my wife in a swimming race. You could put it on Periscope. And that laugh is just scaring me.
I could beat you doing butterfly and you doing freestyle.
Wow. I would pay to see that.
We'll put it together.
I don't want to see you in a swimsuit, so I'm going to have to nix that.
Yeah,
I don't want to see
I'll
you in trunks.
I have a European Speedo I'm going to wear.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have to nix that. Have either one of you yelled at a coach ever of Shea's? I have to imagine both of you have, but I'm going to go with Beth being more so. Really?
No.
Never?
No, and Arnie is, and I hate to...
Do you just talk about them behind their back?
Yeah, pretty much.
But I hate to break Arnie's cover on this. Arnie is the one at the end of the game that always goes up and shakes the referee's hand and says, good game.
Yeah. Oh, see, I believe that. Yeah. I don't think...
But there was the one coach that we It wasn't in our game. He was the Russian dude that took a pen and snapped it and stabbed the guy in the neck.
I tried to intervene there. We are very, very respectful sports parents.
But I don't want to be respectful. No, but I am because I'm afraid they'll take it out on Shay.
We have these, what do you call those, voodoo dolls that we stick pins in. There you go.
Shane in Burlington says, how did Shay get into hockey? Because most hockey players come from hockey
families. That's me.
You're looking at her.
No, wait a minute. You wanted to get him into figure skating is what you did. And I'm like, enough with the figure skating. He's the only boy in the play.
So we moved. We were living in Atlanta.
Gosh.
We were living in Atlanta, and we moved
back. That big hockey hotbed.
Exactly.
Yeah, hockey hotbed.
Shay went to his first hockey game. Loved it. Gladiators, I think, was the game we went to. Anyhow, we get back to Chicago, and my girlfriend said, you know, Beth, Shay needs to learn to ice skate because all the birthday parties in Northbrook are ice skating. And I said, sure. So we put him into figure skating, and a girl in his class, Amanda, had cancer.
Okay.
Oh.
So.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yes.
So Shay skated with her a whole year, and he got pretty good and went into the show, and he was the head of the line whatever person. And then it was around Christmas time.
I wasn't happy with this.
Yeah,
I wasn't happy with this.
You know what? He was doing it because it was doing it because Amanda.
Yeah,
that was their thing they did together. And we had just ordered him new figure skates because the coach said he's really good, needs better skates. So we just ordered the skates.
It's only a 3-hour show.
And he saw these boys in hockey skates. So he came out of the stands and he said, Mom, I want to try hockey skates. And I said, sure.
It's Friday already. It's Friday.
So he just went skate around and he said, can we return the figure skates? And that was the end of it. And he gave up. He gave up swimming.
Okay.
He gave up baseball and gave up tennis and just dove into
it. Ask me what's the most annoying thing about my wife. Her stories just I'm serious.
Shut up.
Beth,
Let's move on. Do
I not yell at you because I say your stories just drag on forever?
You know what? I'm sorry, honey.
That's okay.
You can be the only good storyteller in the family.
I'm a great storyteller.
You are.
I'm a fantastic storyteller.
Let's go. Okay?
Top four.
Number two.
For Beth, you already got into how you guys got married, proposed to. How did you meet? What's the true story on how you met?
The first one was in college. My friend Mindy, and her nickname was Boom Boom.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Boom Boom and Kegan.
No, she was Boom and I was Less.
Okay.
If you can get that.
Okay.
All right. So
this is way too much
Mindy needed a ride to the Wildcat House because she was connecting with
my friend Thumper, so they can hook up.
Boom Boom, yes. Les, and Thumper.
Yes.
Who are you people?
I don't know anymore. I don't even know who I am now.
With Thumper. I'm standing there running to Arnie, and we just talk hockey all night long. The lights come up, and Arnie needed a ride home. I had my sister's car, so I drove him home.
But you wouldn't sleep with me. You wouldn't put out, so I said, I'm not calling you anymore.
But here's the thing.
Is that true?
Right. No, it's true.
That's true.
I really liked him. If
you're not going to put out, that's it. I'm done with you.
Well, it didn't even get that far. Yeah. I really, really liked him, and I dropped him off, and I pushed him out of the car because I got so nervous. And he did the same thing, too. He didn't reach in to kiss me.
No, I'm just like, that's it.
Yeah,
you know, if you're going to take me in the car, that's what I'm done with you.
5 o'clock in the morning, Mindy comes home in tears.
Had a good time.
Yeah, she lost her virginity to Thumper.
Oh, you see, you can't do this. You see? I asked you to be careful about stuff like this.
I could say that word.
No, you can't.
I never, ever saw Arnie again because I studied, went to the library.
And I didn't.
And he didn't. And then he comes to Phoenix, and I saw this whole big two-page write-up in the paper about him. He had started sports radio in Phoenix.
I was a big star.
Yes.
I was dating nudie dancers.
Yes, he was.
I was dating the girl from Arizona Ice Tea.
Everyone in my family knew of Arnie, but no one wanted to admit it. His radio station was on the same station that the Bills were on, so we would all listen to the Bills games.
What part of keeping this short did you...
And so I heard a show, started listening, and then I think my sister announced it. We had a once-a-month family dinner, and she's like, I'm fixing you up with Arnie Spanier. I'm like, do not fix me up with that loudmouth, rude New Yorker. No way! And that was my sister's way of saying yes.
I lost track of the story.
Oh.
Shane says, Brady, hover over the dump button, please. That's Shane in Burlington. He wanted to go and have that
out
there.
I've been very good so far.
I don't even know the story. I stopped listening after 20 minutes. Is the hour up? That's all. I keep looking at the clock.
Top four.
Number one.
Serious hard-hitting question for Arnie
here.
Arnie, of all the places you've lived, What was the move that was the hardest to convince Beth of?
There wasn't any. Well, I take that back.
Because she's told me there was where she was crying about
Chicago,
having to leave.
Yeah, I was going
to
say Chicago. When we left Atlanta, you were, look at her face now. Yeah, she's in tears right now. You cried. Look at you. Look at you. You're getting all emotional.
No,
cried when we left Atlanta because she had a great life in Atlanta. She was the country club. She played tennis with the girls.
You didn't Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah, you didn't do squat. That's why you loved Atlanta so much. You didn't do anything out there.
It's a great place. We had a beautiful home. Arnie just...
I brought it from a Coca-Cola executive. Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
No,
yeah, it was a great house.
As soon as I got all the pink carpeting up and all the wallpaper off the walls...
nobody wants to hear this part, okay?
Arnie came home and said, Don't get too attached here. I'm not long for this job. And it was like 6 months later.
I got fired.
Yeah, because his boss got fired. His boss got fired.
And we had to
So you were there for how long? 6 months?
2 years. No, 2 years.
Oh, yeah, you had the house
for 6 years. It was a
year and
a half.
Year and a half. So we went back to Chicago after that. So that was
Learned to play hockey.
Yeah, but you were balling like a little girl.
I did.
Because you couldn't be the country club queen anymore?
No, it wasn't even that.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yes, yes.
I played tennis every day, worked out, have like that other life that I don't have anymore.
Ty says, Beth said Arnie eats like a four-year-old. Did she mean like he literally eats one? Eats like one?
Yes.
Or would that be...
Arnie, what are your food groups?
That's what he's...
Yeah.
Chicken fingers?
Chicken fingers.
Toast with jam and butter.
Mac and cheese.
Yes. Do you know that Heinz
Pizza?
Is making Pizza? Mac and cheese in a can now?
I'm looking forward to that.
There
you
go. You don't even have to add the water and the powder and the butter.
That's the extent of Arnie's cooking skills.
Yes. No, he doesn't like anything of color. No fiber, nothing.
We got a time here. You remember the time that you almost got me fired from Los Angeles?
Oh, yes.
What happened there? Oh, I want to know this one.
Arnie was
Look, she's
doing...
telling this story very slowly,
Arnie
now.
Decided to do the car wash.
Wait a minute. I had the biggest job in America.
Yeah, he did. He
afternoon
had the
top-rated
sports show ever.
It was just crushing it. And I wouldn't let any of the bosses talk to me.
Because you were that big a deal.
I was that big a deal.
You were running the place. You were like the Kawhi Leonard.
I said, do not talk to me. I said, don't do meetings. And you're not allowed to talk to me.
They brought me along.
You didn't have this ego.
No, there was no ego.
It wasn't an ego.
There was no ego. I just don't want to hear from you guys. Because I don't want you telling me what to do because you don't know what you're doing.
But no, it was after Thompson left.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, geez, they bring one boss in after another. And I said, that's it. I'm not listening to you. Do not talk to me.
I mean, these were guys that had no idea what even sports were.
I had one guy that said, you got to stop saying, oh, Laker fans.
Yeah.
And he was like a pretty big, they brought in like the highest executive, like Queer Channel at the time. And I said, no, I don't think I'm going to stop that. He goes, oh, you're going to stop that. I said, no, I'm not. You're going to fire me, but I'm not going to stop it. And he started screaming at me. I said, look, buddy, you need to calm down. I go, because it was just terrible. That's just
so how did she almost get you fired?
So you yelled at one of my bosses. You told him she cursed at one of my bosses.
Arnie's doing the car wash.
BS. And she didn't say BS. She dropped a couple of bombs. And that guy came into my studio all red-faced, screaming at me, going, you want to get fired? Well, your wife is going to talk to me like that? You want to get fired?
Well,
and I'm like, what did she say to you?
That I wanted the Autism Society to be able to be present at the car wash and to be able to have some people there.
Yeah, that
and
was it.
He's like, no, we need the fangirls here, not kids.
So,
did you get mad at her for this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't go.
I was really mad. I'm like, look.
Came to our house and ate brisket.
I've got to get into the hot tub with some girls in bikinis now. I don't have time to argue with you about this.
With Ben Maller.
Yeah,
you
got to
go hang out with Boom Boom and Thumper.
So, it was pretty intense. He didn't like that. Of course, we had a bad relationship after that.
Town Fair Tire text line, Brian in Richmond. Can we keep Beth for next hour?
No,
Travis at First Republic Brewing.
I'm a very busy person. I have dogs to walk.
Yeah, because Arnie doesn't, so... There will never be another top four at four like today's. And John wants to know, Beth, how do you handle Arnie's porn star past when he was the...
Oh, that was a really bad... That was a bad, bad, bad time.
What do you mean that was a bad time?
I was working at the Calabasas Tennis and Swim Club, and I remember you telling
me
about
this.
I didn't
have a bad time.
I was so upset. I remember just crying underneath the desk.
What do you mean crying? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Arnie, when you showed that to me, that was just awful.
When you were with Simona Fusco?
Simona Fusco. She only let me do it because I told her I was going to pay $10,000.
Yes, you lied.
How much did you get paid?
Zero.
Are there Are there residual checks from the pool boys?
Wait a minute. You didn't seem to mind when I did the voiceover commercials for Hardee's and the checks were coming in like crazy.
Star.
Yeah.
That was nothing.
She would chase me out to the mailbox.
Yes, I did.
And because
that was so much fun.
Yeah, but the movie I did where I did the nude scene, The Pool Boys. It was a pretty big movie. It's been pretty big over like in Yugoslavia somewhere.
Fantastic.
Something like that.
Do you get any residual checks for that?
No.
Brady.
But we get residual checks for the commercial. Yeah. I don't get anything.
Never a penny.
All right. Let's take a break. I've got more questions to see how well Arnie knows Beth.
All right. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
You've been sitting through the whole break. We appreciate you, and we know you have a lot to say. Now, get those phones ready to call in or text at 802-655-6672. It's The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle. 101.3, The Game. All week long, we have a special guest from 4 to 5. Yesterday was Travis Milton. Today, my wife, Beth, joins us here. Now, Brady, because
some people are texting in that they're saying they love this hour, but you cut off Beth before she could finish the story of how you
met. That's how it always is.
I don't remember where we...
So you left off at how you met. And look, I got questions for you also, Arnie, to see how well you know her in a minute. But you left off with you were in Buffalo. You had been listening...
No, wasn't in Buffalo. This was in Tucson.
You said you listened to Bills games.
In Phoenix.
Yeah, this
there
was
were Bills
Phoenix.
Games on in Phoenix.
Yes.
Yeah, they were Bill game. Okay. I don't know how that... Anyway, go ahead.
So your sister was going to set you up with Arnie. And you said
I said no, but of course that was a yes. So I was at the yogurt store. I had a frozen yogurt store. And I get a phone call from the station. And by the way, you're on the air. Arnie's asking me out. He thinks I'm Mindy.
Mindy is the boom boom, the one with the big chest.
And I didn't like say anything on the radio
You didn't tell me that.
I didn't say anything. So we decided that I had season tickets to the Suns. So we're going to go to a game. And it was a Saturday night. And Sunday morning, I was leaving to go see one of the guys, the neurosurgeon who specialized in neurosurgeon with AIDS.
Oh my God.
So another ski bunny?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You should have married him. You'd be rich.
We went to... So you were dating
multiple guys at once.
Yeah.
So you're not a swinger, but you're just
That's called the swinger. That's called the swinger.
Hey, I wasn't married.
So wait, the neurosurgeon lived in Arizona also?
No. He was in New York.
And he would just fly you around the country.
Ron. No. Well, when he would have meetings,
How did you meet this Ron? All right, well, finish the story. I can't finish the story.
So we go on the date, and I didn't know that Arnie was being sold at Buddy Ryan's bar, and he had all of his flunkies there checking me out, and he got paid $250
to go on the date for
dinner. He got free dinner. We had drinks. We went to the game, and at the game, I'm like, you know what? I really, really liked him. And the whole time I'm in Utah, I'm thinking about Arnie.
And I told her, I said, look, don't get used to me.
He did say this.
I said, I am dating this girl. She's an Arizona iced tea model. She was Indian, I think.
Yes, she was. And exotic.
Very exotic. And I go, I'm dating some girls that are dancers.
Yeah, but look at this.
I go, don't get used to me.
So you said, don't get used to me.
Don't get used to me.
Oh my God.
That's right. Look, I was honest. At least I'm honest.
It was a closing line and it worked.
I said, don't get used to me. I got too much going on in my life. I'm in my radio career and I'm dating lots of starlets.
You said, don't get used to me. Yes. That was one thing you said.
Yes.
You also said, if you're not going to sleep with me, then I don't want to call you again.
He didn't say that at all.
I did. I said, if you're not going to sleep with me, I didn't call you.
You know what, Arnie? Stop.
Wait, I didn't call you.
We get to your fraternity. Yes. I push you out of the car because I was afraid of you.
Pushed you out of the car.
So you didn't actually say. I thought you actually told her.
No, I never called her again.
He never called me.
I thought you actually said to her.
No, in his mind, he said that.
I'm not calling her.
There's two things. There's reality and there's Arnie's reality.
I thought she didn't put out. Why would I call you again? I mean, seriously.
Mistake of the day, 802.
Come on now.
Mistake of the day, 802-655-6.
What happened to mistake of the day?
We do it every day.
No.
You have never given out a hash.
802-655-6672.
Just turn your mic off.
Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, Heinebrig Drive, your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. I had to get through the
read.
But you don't give out the hats anymore.
We do. We'll give out hats for you. We'll give you a hat just for that.
That's
all right?
Okay.
I want to
hear a little bit more about Beth and Arnie. So, yes. Arnie, I got some questions for you. Since we've all seen the Newlywed Game at this point.
Yes.
Jesus.
If you're looking for the Newlywed Game, it is available online at 1013thegame.com.
How many views have we had on that?
1,000.
Oh, wow.
Do you know that my boss has watched that?
Yes. You can also go to YouTube and just Google Arnie and Beth. Or you can go to YouTube and look for Arnie and Beth in the Newlywed Game.
Mistake of the day. Tim in South Burlington said Beth saying yes to Arnie. So,
yeah. Hey, that's not a mistake.
So, people have seen the Newlywed Game. Beth, my first question for you is, how did you let Arnie get away with saying that your chest was the worst feature of your body?
Listen.
How did you let him get away with that?
I should have known, because every market we've been in, every salesperson would come up to Arnie and like, you know, dude, I'm going to help you out. You're going to help me out. We're going to get your wife some, can I say the word?
No, new boobs. You're going to say the word that you can't say.
So I'm going to get you some things to make your wife look better. So Arnie would always come home and say, listen, we can get you a free job. And I'm like, I don't want that.
But in Atlanta, Dr. Ashraf,
yes.
You're going to like this.
Okay.
Dr. Ashraf graduated, him and his wife, from Johns Hopkins, okay?
Okay.
And they offered to do me free LASIK. And my wife, free boobs.
Why can you say that and I can't say
I said them. The B word. I didn't say another word that begins what you can't say. But and she didn't want to do it.
No.
She's like, no,
Los
I don't
Angeles,
boobs.
They tried. Texas, Dallas, they tried.
Yeah, free, too.
No. Yeah. No. You can sell them.
That's the same boss.
I could do a lift.
That's the same boss she cursed at.
When he says your chest is the worst part of your body, how is he not sleeping on the couch for eternity?
Brady, listen. The whole thing is, if you really looked at the...
Looked at what your chest was.
No. If you looked at the, I think the way the question was.
What's the least attractive part of her body?
Right.
And then Arnie goes, I think her chest.
But it was supposed to be what you thought was the least attractive part, because I didn't listen
and that
to
was
the question.
My stomach. But that's it. Repeat what you just said.
It was supposed to be what you thought was the least attractive
part. Because what you didn't
know. I didn't listen to the question.
And that's.
But we still won.
Yeah. Well, thank
we
God.
We still won
I'm
the trip to Micronesia.
Thank God I'm fast on the buzzer.
Yeah, and by the way, they told Beth, the producer...
I had to slow down.
No. The producer came out and said, Beth, you're not allowed to ring in on this question. They told you, because we had to refilm it, and you still rung in. And they said, stop again, Beth. You can't ring in this time. And
I have to win.
And you were moving your hand, and they told you to stop
it. All right, Arnie, questions about... These are questions about Beth.
About Beth.
And
good luck.
See if I know them.
Yes, and I'm just waiting. The first thing that comes to mind... Do you know where Beth works?
Yes, now I know. Yes, she works at Universe. But before that, there's most of the places I don't know where she works.
Sweetheart, that's not the question. The question is, where is Universe located?
Well, no, my first question was, do you know where?
Word.
No, my first
you
question
didn't
was.
Listen.
Yes, you didn't listen. My first question: do you know where Beth works?
Yes,
Universe is the company.
Universe is the company.
Do you know what? Do you know what town her business is actually located in?
Yes, I do. It's in Colchester. Right? It's not in Colchester.
No. Winooski.
Or close enough.
Do you know what street it's located on?
No, I couldn't give
you
a street.
I've told you this a million times.
I could drive there, but I wouldn't know what street.
Well, what do you tell OnStar?
I just say, go to Beth's work.
Because you have it programmed in?
It's past that first light and you make a right.
Tegan.
Yeah,
Tegan.
There you go. Tegan. There you go. Tegan.
Like a tiger.
If you were taking Beth out to dinner, what is her favorite place to eat locally?
The skinny pancake?
Is that correct?
Wait, why did she put that question down?
What do you mean? I wrote the question.
Brady, we don't really have like.
You don't have a favorite place.
We go to like.
We go.
Yeah, skinny pancake is good. I like the new juniors. This job has made me not like a lot of the places we used to like.
Okay, don't tell me. I don't want to know that.
But what about the ones you do like?
Oh, we spend a lot of time at the upper deck.
The upper deck, we do go there a lot too.
And
then when your mom
grill.
Comes in the town, we try to go to more expensive places.
Very true.
Yeah, that's true.
Archie's Grill. See, I've never been to Archie's
Grill.
That's
good.
I know I need to.
Very, very good. Yeah. We like that.
Yeah. I know I need to.
Yeah.
Since you famously in the Newlywed Game said that Beth's favorite place to eat was pizza.
Yes.
And that is not a place to eat.
No.
Where is Beth's favorite place in town to get pizza?
It'd be Raimondo's, but she doesn't eat pizza.
No.
Yeah, she doesn't
eat
pizza.
She doesn't eat pizza.
So it was
at what point did Beth become a workout? I don't want to say freak. That's too harsh. But at what point did she become such an addict?
Yeah, you are like the first lady of Orange Theory now. It probably started at Orange Theory, because before you went to Orange Theory, You said you were fat.
Arnie.
Yeah.
I was like a size 12, and now I'm a size 2'4". So go there. This is a lot of work.
So how much did you weigh when you were a size 12?
Well, I didn't.
You don't
have
ask
any...
a woman how much
she
weighs.
I know, but
weighs.
She wasn't that much.
I know, I would weigh myself.
What was it, 140 pounds?
No, when I did have to weigh myself, it was like 160.
Oh, so you were pretty pretty up there.
Yeah, I was pretty up there.
Wow.
You know what? I had given up. Arnie and I were having chips and guacamole for dinner every night.
Wait a minute. So you were up to 160?
Yeah. No muscle. I couldn't even do 5 sit-ups.
And you've always been so strong, too.
I know, but now I'm back.
Arnie.
Wow, I can't believe you were so big.
I hit it well.
How big were you?
Oh, I wasn't.
Arnie got to 300 one time.
Yeah.
One time?
I was up to 300, three bills.
He was a big boy.
And you must not have been playing any basketball then.
Was I playing? No,
that was
I don't think
when
so.
You were working at the network in Chicago when we...
Oh, I hated
Arnie got
those
pregnant
hours.
With me. Arnie got pregnant with me.
9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Monday through Friday, and I couldn't do anything during the day, so it just sucked.
What happened is I would cook dinner, he would leave for work at 7, and then pick up another dinner to eat at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, pick a pizza for the guys and eat that too.
What's Beth's favorite thing to get at McDonald's back when she would permit herself to eat at McDonald's?
No, we wouldn't go to McDonald's. I don't think you would like anything there. I don't.
What do I get at McDonald's? There's
coffee.
One thing there.
Yeah, that's it.
Coffee or oatmeal.
Okay. Oatmeal at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good oatmeal. Arnie's even eating it now.
If you're talking about like junk food.
No.
Back in the day, you would eat the toppings off the yogurt stuff that your yogurt store. I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wasn't allowed in the yogurt store anymore after that. Yeah, the toppings.
Beth, what first things that come to mind when I give you these questions about Arnie?
Oh, boy.
When you think of Arnie's radio career, what phrase comes to mind first?
Oh, this is interesting.
Oh. There's so many.
No, first.
Just first.
1-800-777-2907.
Nobody knows what that means. That's the old phone number, though.
No, that's fine. Well, okay.
There's that one.
I used to give the phone number for the network, and people still repeat it to this day.
Still to this day. Wide of a line open.
Yeah,
why are you causing so much dissension?
Well, you never said that once here.
No, there was a guy that was drunk that called up and he goes, "Man, why do you cause so much
dissension?"
He was like a southern guy.
Dissension.
He's like, he just didn't like me. Just didn't like me at all.
No, there's a lot of each place has an Arnie-ism.
And then there was the police officer that said, "Yeah, you better not come down here. It's not
going
to end up right
here." You're forgetting the one that's
and then,
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Laker fans.
Oh, wow. You forgot the wow. No, that's not one of my better catchphrases.
That's what that's your phrase here.
No, it's my favorite one here, but not, yeah.
That's not really the Arnie.
It is for me.
That's the retired Arnie.
Yeah,
when they
the
ask me
one.
About what are you going to remember most about Arnie years from now, I'm going to say, wow.
Yeah.
That's
really?
The one I'll remember the most.
I say that a lot now.
Your music, that music that Shooty made for you, the hands clapping.
The hands clapping when you like that one.
Yeah.
That's another one, too. We'll have Brady pull that one. That's an awesome one.
Question two, if Arnie could go one place to eat for the rest of his life, where would it be?
Oh, my God.
One place. First thing that comes to mind.
You
on a very strict
this
time
This
limit.
One is so easy. Market 32 Dessert Counter.
No, I mean, but for real dinner. What's like my favorite chain restaurant that they don't have here that I would go there every day?
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
Well, that and?
Tommy's.
Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was Al's French Fries.
Well, no. I like Al's, but I mean...
We go there for ice cream.
Yeah, but if...
They're clients. They're good Universe clients.
If I want to be honest, I would do the Cheesecake Factory every day.
Yes.
Until I gained like 100 pounds.
Yes.
Shane in Burlington says the show is today.
Yes, the show is today.
And he also says the Olive Garden breadsticks line.
We don't eat there.
It's not about eating there,
yeah,
Beth.
When you went out of town,
and what
I
did
ate
you
there.
Say?
I loved it. There
no,
you go.
You
that's
didn't.
What I did.
I'm sorry.
I loved it when you were out of town. I got to eat by myself.
Why except, was it in the refrigerator?
Except we're not talking about eating at Olive Garden. We're talking about how Arnie says he doesn't know who someone is. He goes, I wouldn't know him if he served him breadsticks at the Olive Garden.
Exactly.
Another one. How much do you have to hear about basketball that night when Arnie gets home? When Arnie plays basketball, how much time does he spend telling you about it?
He tells me, but I have really great art.
Of just pretending like you're listening and just mouth, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, I do bring it up every night I come home.
Yeah, he does. And you
yes,
know,
I do.
I've learned that, you know, I learned that from Shay because Shay is like his father. Just
well, real quick, because we have to break. I have like four other questions,
okay,
but I'm going to ask two.
Okay.
How was Arnie as a frat boy?
I don't know.
You didn't meet him when he was... What was your frat name, Arnie?
Spiggy.
Okay.
Spiggy, yeah.
And now I wish I hadn't asked that
question.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have asked that one, yeah.
So, when's the last time Arnie made you dinner?
She won't let me cook.
Oh, you stirred something the other night we were cooking. What did you were made?
I stirred the beans.
Yeah, the beans.
Okay.
Yeah,
last
I really
one.
Didn't have to do much.
What's the sweetest thing Arnie's ever done for you?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think anything.
Oh, been a great husband for this whole
thing. Oh, look at her. Yeah, that's what a great answer.
Yeah.
Because I really have done nothing. Adam and Wilson, shout out to Beth and the great diving catch he had during the Travis Roy tournament last year. That's when I realized Artie was married to a baller. You remember that?
Listen,
that was a great
catch. Listen, you we don't all know where Shea gets,
double play, I think.
We know where Shea gets his athleticism.
Yeah. All right,
not from you, sweetheart.
We'll come
sorry.
Back for the last segment. I know we have a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle, 101.3 The Game.
Clay Travis, Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd. Sounds like a perfect start to a batting lineup. But the huddle is your cleanup hitter. Here to clear the bases, it's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle, 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Tuesday out there. My wife's sitting in for one more segment.
Are you itching to get rid of her?
Yes.
I think it's been better than you were expecting.
No, I just want to go home and get under the covers and just go to bed.
What's going to be more fun this week? It's a good poll question. Beth in here for an hour or me seeing Rich's cult camp?
Well, that's going to be fun, too.
He didn't invite us.
I'm
very sour about that.
I'm going tomorrow.
Let him know how sour I am about that.
I'm going to check it out.
Rich doesn't care if you're sour about that.
You know what?
Okay, look at
no more spaghetti and meat sauce for him.
Beth cooked him like a week's worth of spaghetti and meat sauce.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Speaking of that, Rich was in here. Rich ran the board for UVM games like three times this year.
Oh, that's right, and I brought him food for that, too.
And I was very, very appreciative. She comes in, brings him food for that. But the 29 games that I did, food.
Yes, nothing.
And he can't invite us?
Well, I don't want to go to cult camp.
Well, you know what? That's
fine.
Did you
want to go to cult camp?
Whether we wanted to go or not, an invitation would have been nice.
No, I wouldn't even have cared.
We would have gone.
No, I would not have gone.
Oh, you still would have gone aggravate Rich.
Okay, maybe I would have gone. Just to aggravate Rich.
You would have gone and worn overalls and said, like, where's Maude Haskell?
With a straw in his mouth.
They're watching Deliverance on TV there. Go ahead.
Toothpick.
Now, do you have questions for us or no? I'm afraid to even throw this out to you.
I guess
no, you
I've
see,
never
that, the
asked
no,
you
no,
this
no,
question, Arnie.
Then I don't think today is a good day to start.
We've lived in a lot of different cities.
Yes.
And
Haley actually said, where did we want to retire?
Here,
I hope.
Here.
Well, no, I mean,
it's the truth. It is here.
No, but I mean, years ago, I said either Steamboat Springs or Montpelier. I picked two places out of the blue.
Yeah, no, it's
and
true.
One was Montpelier. Yeah. One
Montpelier. At least say it right.
Yeah. Well, that was that one.
We couldn't move there because he couldn't pronounce it.
Sure. And Steamboat Springs were the two places I picked 20 years
ago. This is my question.
Okay. Your question.
Thank you.
Okay.
So out of all of the jobs that you've had.
Yes.
I feel that. I put the kibosh on one of them. I made us leave Los Angeles, which was probably your best job.
The question is?
We weren't happy as a couple, so that was whatever.
Speak for yourself, but go ahead.
Well, we never saw each other, so maybe you were happy.
No.
But what job do you regret not having anymore?
I don't think there's any job I regret not having anymore.
Is there a job you regret? Or a job that you could have had that you didn't go for?
There was one job I could have had that I did go for.
No, no, no. I want the question answered.
One at a time. There's no job. I don't think I would go back to Atlanta. I really don't care about going back to Atlanta. Now that I'm on nationally, I'm on just about every station that I've ever worked for. So.
But it wasn't that. The being an afternoon drive in Los Angeles. Were you like, do you miss that?
No, I don't. No, I mean, that was so stressful for me.
It was awful.
And it was terrible. No, I had to deal with every major boss in a major company by myself. I had nobody following my back. No, I there was one job I could have had, Brady. Matter of fact, I should have had, and I really think I could have had it, was one in New York. What was the station?
With Opie and Anthony.
WFAN?
No, Opie and Anthony. Have you heard those guys?
I don't know what station.
They're not sports talk. They're regular talk.
So Arnie screwed up.
Yeah.
The boss that ended up bringing him to Dallas said to him, Put a reel tape together.
Together,
for me.
And we're going to hire you in New York.
Exactly. So Arnie puts this tape together with Michael Jordan, these great interviews.
And the guy says, "What are you, an idiot? I don't want to." And he's just cursing at me. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this crap. I want to hear you yucking it up and partying and having fun.
I want to hear you.
But I still could have had the job. I still could have the job. That was the one job.
Because you wanted to go back to New York where you were from originally?
I wanted to go back to New York. And my first, early in my career, I had the Seattle job at KJR. And I'm like, dude.
But you had to come marry me.
Yeah, I said, you know what? He goes, we're going to offer you a great gig up here. Was it KJ or Cairo? I don't remember.
Cairo.
And he goes, you are going to be a star. I said, yeah. I go, I'm going to be a star down here in Phoenix. Hmm. And I'm not leaving. So I was terrible. I was terrible when I was young. That was another good job I had. But other than those two.
So you don't regret giving up Los Angeles?
No, but one more I do regret. Before Jim Rome became Jim Rome.
Oh, this was big.
It was between me, Rome, and one other person. I don't remember the third person. And
Was it CBS?
No,
syndication.
Nike was sponsoring this. Yeah, Nike was footing the boat.
And it really was between me and Rome. And I'm like, where do I got to live? They go, you got to move back to Los Angeles. I said, you know what? Give it to Jim. So I'm not going back to Los Angeles. I don't want to live there. And that was the biggest mistake of my life. Jim makes $30 million a year now. For CBS. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I like him, but good for Jim. He obviously got the job out.
So I didn't kill your career.
But almost did. For
okay,
the most
fantastic.
Part, did,
yeah.
Only just getting him almost fired from the
yes.
from LA.
Okay.
But
that just was, so from
so
that
Brady,
one.
When Arnie first started out in sports radio, it was in infancy.
Yes.
And there wasn't, you know, Arnie kind of was his own character.
Yes.
Like, there was no one like an Arnie.
Would agree with that, I'm sure.
Okay. So Arnie kind of molded and went his little path, and he's himself.
Mm-hmm.
You came in probably
I don't
over
know,
the
I don't
peak,
like where this is
over
going.
The peak of sports
like where
radio,
this is going. Yes.
Where sports radio is kind of like going different than how it was.
Okay,
who do you find that you're modeling yourself after?
Colin.
Oh, I didn't expect that. I thought you didn't like Colin.
No, I love Colin.
Really, I didn't expect that at all.
I'm not as good as Colin, but
no,
like
I didn't expect that.
I think Colin's great. I Colin's the first one that I really. I guess I'm more Mike Greenberg than I am Colin. Like
I'm
more,
not.
Like,
see,
I'm
not
I
a big Greenberg fan.
I would have said Greenberg. That's what
yeah.
I thought.
No,
you
I,
would
look,
heard.
I listened to Mike and Colin. I feel like I'm like Greenberg in that I really enjoy interviewing. Like Greenberg. You're an entertainer. We do this all the time. You're
yeah.
an entertainer.
Right.
I'm a journalist.
Right.
That's how I see it. Like
right.
I really like interviewing. I really like asking questions. Greenberg is a very good interviewer. I really like doing that. I think that's probably what I'm good at. I think Colin is the best at sports radio. I don't have the ability to pull the analogies that he does, nor
right,
do I have the
right.
staff of 30
no,
that he has.
He does have a staff
to
of 30.
Give him
yes,
some
yes,
of those analogies. But I would say Colin is my favorite. I kind of model myself after him, but I'm probably a little bit of Colin and a little bit of
Arnie.
Greenberg. And I really like Clay Travis, too.
I would think right now on the air is
yeah.
Clay your favorite?
I like Clay. He's one of my – I like Colin, too, but if there's only one show I could listen to – I'm going to do Clay Travis. I just like the way he stirs it up.
Which is how you do it.
I do,
so.
But I just
but
love
you know
the
what,
hate
Brady,
text and everything like that.
He is so intelligent.
Oh, absolutely. And he's super nice. When I met him in person at the Super Bowl, Clay's an awesome guy.
I like listening to him in the morning.
All right, let's real quick get to Gone But Not Forgotten. We
oh, my gosh, I got some.
So
I prepared.
For Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to Elmwood Minier Funeral Homes and Cremation Center in Burlington. It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, well, I'll go first because I had Zachary Taylor, the 12th U.S. president.
Oh, that's the one you picked?
Yeah,
really?
Died on this 12th.
Do you know who
president?
Died today, Arnie?
Who died today?
Ross Perot.
Oh, yes, I saw that today.
No, that would have been a better one
former
for you.
Former president.
That
former presidential
candidate.
Yes,
candidate.
That would have been a better one for you.
Well,
I saw that one.
Died today is Ross Perot died on this day. I don't know if you guys know that.
Okay.
Love Ross Perot.
Brady, go ahead. I've got two.
Who do you
got?
No, you go. Who
yeah,
do you got?
Go.
Okay, first, it's the end of an era.
Okay, and we have about 45
yeah.
seconds.
Okay, so the VW bug is no more.
No? The punch
no
buggy? Herbie the
what
love
happened?
Bug is gone?
It's done. Americans don't want that car anymore. They want their crossovers and their SUV.
I like the punch buggy, though.
Okay.
And you have
and
another one, which
yes.
I don't.
Okay,
I don't
so
even know what it is.
Cesar Millan is now the dog whisperer.
Yes.
But before Cesar Millan, it was Barbara Woodrow. And
Barbara Woodhouse,
excuse me, Woodhouse. And she had a book, No Bad Dogs, and she had three lines, and play them for me.
This is what
yes. Sean.
Sit.
Stay. Yes. Yes, you count it two. Hand on your back and walk out.
No, you're just supposed to go sit.
Well, hey.
Face
okay,
your
that,
dog.
Or whatever.
Call your dog.
That is so the,
anyway,
that's what you're picking for Gone But Not Forgotten?
Yes. She was the big thing back in the day, like for old ladies like May.
Go ahead.
I'm
Brady.
Doing Gone But Not Forgotten this segment. We're out of
yes.
time and we're out of time.
Right, come give me a kiss goodbye. Matt, give me a kiss goodbye.
Thank you. That's Gone
Thank
But Not
you,
Forgotten.
Baby.
Elmwood Minier
yes.
in Burlington.
Thank you. Power Hour coming up next right here on 101.3.
Clay Travis when you drive in, and the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Thanks to my wife for coming on in. We'll read all the text in a little bit because we got to get to Tom Caron. Brady's going to get him on the phone. By the way, trivia tomorrow. Not only will I be there, my wife will be there also. So if you want to come out to trivia at the City Sports Grill, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., we'll be out there. Great questions. My wife writes all the questions. So we can give her grief if there's one that you do not like. And usually there's a couple we do not like. Anyway, come out to trivia. Great specials. There's five different appetizers for $5. Great drink specials. 14th Star Valor, Valor Ale for $4. So trivia tomorrow, City Sports Grill, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. All right, let's get out to our guest. Of course, we have him on every week from Nesson. It's Tom Caron. How you doing, T.C.?
Good. How are you doing, boys?
Hey, we just had my wife on for a whole hour. It was pure torture. I'm just wondering, have you ever had your wife on TV at all for all these years or what?
That's a great question. A couple of times along the way, I've done things that she's been part of. Way back when I used to do more feature reporting, and we did a show called Front Row where we do, like, magazine stories. I remember we were on up in northern Maine hunting, not hunting, but looking for moose. And she was along on that. And, I did a radio show a long time ago in Maine, and we used to have her on once in a while as kind of the voice of common sense,
So she didn't drop the F-bomb like my wife or anything like that?
No, but she's not married to you. So, yeah, there you go.
DC, what'd you make of the Home Run Derby? Did you watch it last night? Does it still get you excited?
I did, and I thought it was great. I thought, the triple overtime or whatever the hell we call that, semifinal was great. I was at a bar and the whole place was cheering, and then coming down to the final home run at the end, Guerrero put on a show, 20 years old, swinging like his dad. I thought it was great. I don't necessarily get as excited about it as I used to. I think the novelty has worn off. I'm not as big a fan of the brackets as sort of the overall, just moving on based on your numbers. But every now and then, you get a great showdown and it captures your attention. And I thought last night was one of those nights.
TC, I walked away from the Home Run Derby thinking, man, it would be nice if the Red Sox had a prospect like that to get excited about, like Vlad. I'm like, I know Devers, I know this farm system's been good in years past, but like, there's nobody coming up that I could point to and be like, man, all these young stars in baseball, I see none of them on the way for the Red Sox.
Yeah, except Devers is, younger than just about everybody in the minor leagues, and he's playing at the major league level. Chavis, is going to be a finalist for the Rookie of the Year if he keeps doing anything like this. Benintendi is, I guess, old at 24. The prospects are up. I mean, it's still a young team, but because of that, they don't have much on the farm. You're right about that. But their guys are up. I mean, Devers is up. Vasquez is still a young catcher. Benintendi, like I said, is young. Chavis is having a nice rookie year. Listen, Marco Hernandez has suddenly become a guy who's hitting a little bit at second base, and he's young. So it's a pretty young team. I guess you're right. There's no one on the horizon, but your young brother, any one of those guys could have been a big part of that last night. I thought Chavis, if he'd have kept on his home run tear at the that he was on in May. Remember, he kind of went in a dip in June, and that's when I think he missed his chance to be part of that. Had he kept going, in June like he did in May and now in July the last couple of weeks, he might have gotten some consideration. I think it would have been fun to have Chavis be a part of that.
Why don't you like it as much, TC, the All-Star Game? And I said the same thing. When I was younger, the Mets were so bad, I would just watch the All-Star Game to look for that one Met. Lee Mazzilli, and I still remember Mazzilli hitting a home run to tie up a game in the eighth and walking in the ninth to win it, stuff like that. But I just don't relate now. Am I too old, or why don't we like it as much?
First of all, my Lee Mazzilli story, he threw a baseball at me once at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. Didn't like where I was standing and was having a bad day. And
try to throw a baseball at me to move me out of the way, which, by the way, worked. I did move pretty quickly.
I love that.
I don't know. I've always been the All-Star break, you know, for me is a break, so I'm never, you know, at home dialed in. I'm on vacation somewhere usually. So I watch it, you know, usually across a pub or you know, at home, but by a campfire sitting outside or something. So I like the Home Run Derby in some ways more than the All-Star game itself. I think that's a cool showcase for baseball. I like the way the other guys hanging out on the field, taking it all in. I think that's all, it's all very cool. So, the All-Star game, I mean, it's fun, but these guys play each other during the year.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you see what your Red Sox do. You see what Mookie and JD and Xander do. It'll be fun with Alex Cora managing tonight. I think that'll be interesting to see what he does. You know, he had joked that he's going to put JD Martinez in the nine hole and try to put a chip on his shoulder for the rest of the year to get him fired up, but he didn't do that.
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic reports today the Red Sox are looking for starting pitching help, and they want to do this sooner rather than later. How do you want them to approach the starting pitcher market? Rental player who doesn't cost as much, or a guy who's going to cost you a lot but is under control for a number of years?
Well, it can't be a guy who costs them a lot. They're not, I mean, I've said this a million times. I've said it to you since February. They're not going to go over that third luxury tax threshold.
A lot of prospects, not money.
Well, okay. Well, they don't have a lot of prospects.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you probably have to overpay in prospects. You know, so are you willing to give up Bobby Dalbec, who is hitting home runs now again at a prodigious level? But you got Chavis up, and like we said before, you got a lot of young guys up. You'll probably have to overpay with prospects to get anything. I like, you know, Zach Wheeler's a name that's been thrown around a lot from the Mets. I love that idea. I think this goes back to the Nathan Eovaldi to closer story. As you know, first reported by me, not that I'm going to keep saying that for the rest of the year, but I'm probably going to keep saying that for the rest of the year. So by moving him to the closer spot, it allows you to trade, like you said last week, for a number five starter. It's a lot easier, a lot cheaper to find a number five starter than it is to find a legit closer. So I think that's where this all factors in. They should be able to get someone who can help. Again, number five starter here. You're not talking about an ace. You'd like to go get somebody who's good, can give you six serviceable innings and hand it off to the bullpen. You should be able to do that without breaking the bank and without giving up all your problems.
You know what's so funny? Right before you came on, like an hour before, I said they should get one of the Mets pitchers. And they can't. Too expensive. But when you say it, it's a great idea. When I say it, it's not a great idea.
Well, that's because of my track record and your track record. Zach Wheeler makes a lot of sense. That's really good. Not having quite the year he usually has, but he's durable.
Yeah,
now,
he's
probably going to cost you a little more than the type of guy I'm talking about with a number five starter. But if you can make that happen, keep yourself. They probably have to give some money in the deal as well. So now you'd have to give up even more prospects.
Mm.
Or they'd have to take someone off your, you know, take a Mitch Moreland or somebody who's a rental for the rest of the year, but to get you back under that salary limit. But that's the type of thing that I think you can work. The problem is right now, even the Mets, I mean, everybody in the National League's alive.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is within single digits of the wild card. So it's going to be really hard to get a great deal on somebody from a National League team because everyone's still in the hunt.
Yep.
TC, JD Martinez spoke to the media yesterday about his future, about the potential of opting out at the end of the year. What were your takeaways from that media session?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting when he sort of talked about how much, it's the classic answer, right, that somebody's been well-schooled by Scott Boras to say, I love Boston, I love everything about it, this is a great team, but these things are out of my control. Well, it's really not out of your control.
Right.
You say yes or you say no. And so if he just stops it, I love Boston, we all go home feeling great about it. Instead, he says, I love Boston, but these things are out of my control. That tells you it's in Scott Boras's control. That tells you there's a pretty good chance he's going to opt out and try to get more money.
Yeah.
Do the Red Sox overpay him? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're not going to be able to keep Mookie Betts long term, this is a whole different world if you lose both Mookie Betts and JD Martinez.
Wow.
Are the Sox in a weird position, by the way, with how to handle this season because of the uncertainty around Betts and Martinez? I mean, part of me thinks like, hey, they could just stand pat this year. They won the World Series a year ago. But do they have to send a message to these guys that they want to keep long term? Like, no, we're going to be invested every year of your career here.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're looking at the numbers last night, actually, just playing around with some numbers, and they're going to wind up over the 3 years, if you project out to 2020, probably being between an average of 220 and 230 million. I mean, it's an unprecedented level of spending over a three-year stretch in Major League Baseball. We're talking about nearly, what, $700 million in salaries over 3 years. So to your point, I mean, they are invested, obviously, but the real question is, it all comes down to, is Mookie Betts going to stay? And I've said it once, and I'll say it again, you make one more push for him this offseason to sign. If he doesn't sign, I think you have to, at the very least, see what the best package you can get is. And I would pull the trigger on it if he can't tell you he's staying. I don't think you can afford to lose Mookie Betts and get nothing in return. I think if you make him a market offer, and we're talking, you know, Bryce Harper money, you're talking Mike Trout money, that kind of money, okay? But if you're not going to top them, and I don't think you do, I don't think he should get more than Harper and Trout this offseason with a year to go, especially with the numbers being down a little bit this year. So if you make him a reasonable offer and he says no, I think you, I mean, he, that's the kind of trade that can reboot a franchise. You can talk about four guys who become probably your four best prospects right away, and it frees up, you know, $20 million to maybe do something on the pitching side. I think you owe it to yourself to look at that.
TC, you think Mookie could become almost as good as Trout, right, in that same area?
Yeah, different, in a different way, and I don't know he ever becomes Trout, but he's a five-tool player. He's a leader, and you know, there's no reason to think. Knowing what I know of Mookie Betts, this isn't a guy who's going to have a lifestyle that's going to interfere with him being great consistently. He doesn't have, like, he's not a heavy guy who you're worried about his weight becoming a factor. Right. You know, this guy's one of the best athletes on the planet. And the way he plays the game athletically, the way he's not an all-or-nothing guy at the plate, right? He hits for average, hits for power, great arm, great speed. He does it all. And there's nothing that would indicate to me that that's ever going to drop off anytime soon. So, yeah, I think, you know, again, baseball is different because guys are you know, you're not comparing apples to apples. Mike Trout's bigger, probably going to sustain the power more than Mookie Betts over time. Betts will have him in the speed department. They're both great defensively. But I think you're talking about two guys that are going to be in that handful of best players in the game for years to come.
TC, biggest story of the Sox first half is what?
Well, to me, the biggest story of the first half is, and that's the classic example of repeating the question to buy yourself more time to think of an answer. I mean, the biggest story is the bullpen. And even though, I stall because it's a very close, it's 1A, 1B, the bullpen not being able to handle the loss of Kelly and Kimbrel, but also the starters' inability to be the best rotation in the league, which is what they were supposed to be. You know, if the starters were going deeper into games, we might not be talking about the bullpen as much. So I guess you wrap it all up and just say the pitching. The pitching isn't good enough. Chris Sale, if you're going to go an individual, to me the biggest story is Chris Sale.
Yes.
It's one thing to have that burp at the beginning of the season, yep, and then he got better, but now what's going on, yep, here these last three, four starts? It's really concerning. Thankfully, David Price is having a terrific year and a very consistent year. Porcello, you're never sure. Eduardo Rodriguez gives you three good ones and then two bad ones. So this rotation was supposed to, and Evaldi's been hurt the whole half, and now he's in the bullpen. So, you know, the pitching just hasn't been what it was expected to be. The bullpen got overused because the starters haven't gone deep enough. I think the experiment of Barnes facing the heart of the order every single night has just not worked. No one's ever been asked to do that. No one's ever done that in baseball. Spent a whole season pitching to the 2-3-4, 3-4-5 hitters every single night. You know, even the great closers occasionally get the 7-8-9 hitters with a three-run lead in the ninth. This guy's never asked to get the easy hitters. He's always asked to get the best hitters in every lineup.
Yep.
And I think that's taken its toll on him. I think it's just too much to ask of a pitcher.
Tom Karen, Red Sox Bruins insider at Nesson, with us every single Tuesday at this time. Thanks to our friend Stacey Adamski over at Adamski Law. You can seek out her services at AdamskiLaw.com. TC, I'll get you out of here on this. You guys have done a lot of great work at Nesson. I've been watching a lot of the documentary series you guys have done, My Story. Those have been really cool. You did something that I'm not as familiar with that I think just came out recently, kind of like a rewind to the 99 All-Star Game at Fenway 20 years ago. What was going on there?
Yeah, so cool. 20 years ago, I think today, right, was the 1999 All-Star Game.
Mm.
Pedro Martinez put on a clinic and was the MVP, pitched the first two innings of the game at Fenway Park, when they had, if you remember, they had the All-Century team announced, and that's when they all came out on the field and gathered around Ted Williams. And, you know, I mean, Harden players were standing out there crying. We all kind of knew it was going to be Ted Williams, if not the last real public appearance. It was close to the end because he was in failing health. And through it all, the thing was it was delayed. The thing was supposed to go a half hour. The ceremony went almost an hour. Pedro Martinez, meantime, is throwing out in the bullpen trying to stay sharp. Then he comes out, and this is the height of the steroid era, right?
Right.
I mean, he's facing a murderer's row off the top of the lineup in the National League. I mean, McGuire was in there. Sosa was in there. It's just incredible the guys he was facing. I think I counted up, and it was over 600 career home runs in the first six batters he faced. No, it was way more than that. I forget the number. Anyway, he comes out, and not only does he face the minimum six batters, Matt Williams walked, but he got thrown out trying to steal second base, so he only faced the minimum six. But he struck the other five guys out, and it was just insane. So we've got a show that aired, that premiered over the weekend, and it's airing on and off throughout the week. I'll rewind in 99. I actually sat down with Pedro Martinez, and I give our producers, Mike Berry and our executive producer, Rick Jaffe, full credit. This was their idea, and it was brilliant. We actually put each at-bat on an iPad, and I sat down with him, and he literally goes through that All-Star game pitch by pitch.
Wow.
Telling you what he's thinking while he's watching each at-bat. And it's incredible because Pedro is one of the most intelligent athletes I've ever covered, and just the way he was able to talk about the entire night was one of the coolest interviews I've ever had a chance to do. And so that's the bulk of the show. We sat down with Nomar. I talked to Steve Lyons, actually did the pregame show for Fox that night.
Yeah.
And Gordon Eads was covering it for the Boston Globe. So we had a little roundtable thing. So it's very cool, but the stuff you got to see is Pedro sitting down and reliving that night, pitch by pitch, which was just remarkable. And my favorite thing is that anybody who was there that night remembers they actually set in a new ordinance after that. The flyover was like 500 feet above Fenway Park. It was the loudest thing I've ever
seen.
And Pedro told me, like, that thing went overhead as he's coming out of the bullpen, as the greatest players in the history of the game are leaving the diamond. And he said it was almost an out-of-body experience as he walked out to the diamond, like, I was meant to be here tonight, dominate this game in front of the greatest players in the history of the game.
Wow.
And when a lot of guys kind of back off, he was like, that flyover just kind of got my blood boiling. And he went out there and dominated. It's great stuff, and you got to see it if you can.
Very cool. Very cool. He's Tom Caron, TC of Ness and TC. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the game tonight, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks. You can call your wife and have her back on the show.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. TC, Tom Caron of Ness, and always love talking to him. So yeah, that was a great story.
And TC joins us again every single Tuesday at 5, thanks to Adamski Law. Our friend Stacey Adamski, been with us for a while. She specializes in family cases, workers' compensation, personal injury. If you were hurt at work, you may need the help of an experienced workers' comp lawyer for the paperwork and medical documentation to prove your claim, get the benefits you're entitled to, and get you back to work. Stacey Adamski will help you protect your legal rights so you can heal and return. Online at adamskilaw.com or on the phone, 802-363-6371.
Wow, we're just cruising along today. Fast show.
And they said the All-Star break was a slow time.
Yeah, exactly. Anthony in Essex Junction. Beth is wonderful, absolutely incredibly sweet. She makes me look much more kinder toward Arnie. Dude, you're definitely playing up a couple of classes. And P.S., I don't hate Arnie. What I hate is all the fecal matter and all the absolute garbage he continues to pass off as fact, but I do not hate Arnie.
So he just hates everything you believe in.
He just hates
everything
I believe in. Yeah, exactly. The hot sports opinion. By the way, if you do a radio show and you don't do hot sports opinions, I don't know what you're going to do. Khaled does hot sports opinions all over the place.
If you do a radio show where all you're doing is box score regurgitation, you could do about an hour. And it just wouldn't be very entertaining. Now, you might learn something. It might be insightful.
Right.
It just wouldn't be entertaining. So that's why I think you could only do about an hour of it.
But I don't understand what I pass along is opinion that I would pass. Like, if I say, I don't think Gordon Hayward's going to be good and worth the four-year contract, there's no facts there. That's just an opinion. And you could say, I disagree with you. He's going to be great. There's no facts there either. And Rich could say, he's going to be neither. He's going to be down the middle. There's just our opinions on what's going to happen.
I think what they're saying is, like, when you'll say, oh, Tom Brady's done. Oh, he's done. Oh, he's done.
Well, that's my
he's
opinion. If he's, you know, hurt, I'm going to say Patriots are done. Tom Brady's done. He's not going to play the rest of the year, so they're not going to win another game. That's factual. Tom Brady has been hurt. Well, he's not hurt, not good, but if he gets hurt, that's a fact. And then because of that fact, I have to give my opinion because of the fact.
You don't need to defend yourself so much. It's okay. We
unbelievable.
Love you.
Getting a lot on my wife.
Well, yeah.
Some liked it, some didn't like it.
Well, we can recap it after the break, take some calls on it if we want to. And then we got what Colin said about Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting also. I was kind of curious about that also.
So let's do that after the break.
All right, that's coming up after the break. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Brady and the Bunch podcast is rolling along. We put them out every single Tuesday, every single Thursday. Thanks to all of you who subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. You can find them on 1013thegame.com. All thanks to our friends at Brewetta Tea, reminding you to brew better.
New England Local 44 News.
Let your opinion be heard. Call or text in now at 802-655-6672 or tweet into the show at 1013thegame. It's The Huddle on Burlington and Plattsburgh's home for sports. 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Tuesday out there. Will says, Arnie, you have every right to your opinion. It's what the show is all about. Thank you, Will. Absolutely correct on that. You know, the boss that Beth almost got me fired by?
Yeah.
He had a rule. You could not take questions on the air. Seriously.
Because you had to be the authority on everything, had to come up with everything on your own?
No. Let me rephrase this. Like, if you were taking phone calls, like, you know, you would just go to the phone calls, and somebody said, hey, Brady, love the show. Mookie Betts, like, how many years does he have left on his contract? I think they should trade him. That you couldn't let, he would dump the call in his office.
He would sit and micromanage it from his office.
He would dump the caller right there and then from his office. He wanted people making opinions. So instead of saying, how many years is what he would say, Mookie, he'd want a caller to come on and go, Mookie Betts is the worst and we need to trade him immediately. And then they would hang up and then you would make your comment. That's how he wanted it.
I understand.
No
him.
Back and forth.
I understand. I had a boss tell me once, never say, I think.
Yes, right.
Always, you know, you're the authority. So don't say, I think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. No, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl.
Because we know you think it. You're saying it is what they'll say.
I understand you trying to get the host to talk a certain way, but trying to train the callers to do a certain thing, that's seems a little bit overzealous.
This is when I stopped talking to the guy, is when he said, you know, instead of saying 7:45, you could say 7:45. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
The show's done. I go, meeting over when you're going to do this to me. I go, I don't even want to hear anything else you've got to say. I'm done with you.
That's where Rich comes in and also says that he when he would do his rock.
Rock 94. Rock 94.
Rich does his fake DJ voice and he goes, we used to have to say the time, the station, then the time again. Yeah. Where he'd be like, it's 6:20 on 94 Rock, 20 past 6.
You have to go. Have you ever seen Howard Stern's movie, like 20 years ago?
No.
You really got Private Parts. You got to go see that. Everybody who's in radio should see that. It's not what you think it is about him being raunchy or anything like that. It's just his early years in radio, and it's really funny. You'll absolutely love it. Ramsan Ralph says, Brady, you still want me in here tomorrow? Who do we have in tomorrow, by the way? That's the second person I've heard say that.
We have two people in tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
We have Ramsan Ralph in from 3 to 4. And we have Harry and St. George in from 4 to 5.
Wow. A double shot there.
So a double shot there.
I like that. Rams fan. Are we going to talk nothing about Rams? Is that what that's going on
we'll
there?
We'll make fun of him about the Super Bowl, I guess.
Dinner for you on Wednesday. Brady, squirrel, rabbit, and turtles on the menu at the cult camp. Enjoy. It tastes like chicken. That's from Chris.
So. I better bring like a turkey sandwich in case.
You know, he may be right.
You think they're backwoods hunters? Is that what you think?
Roadkill stew. I've heard about that. Yeah, I think they could have something like that. I bet you they'll say, would you like some rabbit? I bet you they'll try to serve you some rabbit and not tell you about that. So, by the way, did you, who said that they, who'd I hear that went to a restaurant and that you have to eat in the complete dark with your hands?
What?
Yeah, it's complete dark.
Is it North Korea?
No. Here in the United States.
I have no idea.
And they take you to this, and you eat in complete darkness. They don't tell you what you're eating, but they tell you the texture. They'll tell you, like, it's chicken or something, and you're eating it with your hands in complete darkness, and then they tell you after the meal what you've eaten and stuff like
that. No, thank you.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, that's not for me. I don't know. I thought you had gone to a place like that.
No, I don't want – because yeah. I, like you, have a four-year-old's yeah. taste palate.
Maybe it was Colin that was telling the story that was doing that. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a place I want to go. That's
no, it
sure.
doesn't sound like it for
no,
me either.
Not at all.
Do you want to catch up on a couple texts about your wife
quick? Yeah, what did they say?
802-655-6672. What did you think of our hour with Arnie's wife? If you missed any of it, the full show podcast will be available on 1013thegame.com. Jack Winooski, can we swap out Arnie for his wife? Her voice is way nicer to hear.
You must be hard of hearing, Jack. I don't know about her voice being nicer than mine. I don't know if I'm going to buy that one.
Jack in Essex, I don't care what anybody says. This is radio gold.
Yeah, it was fun. I was very nervous last night because I didn't know if she was going to say something that was going to get everybody in trouble, curse words. See, she didn't even know how to say boobs without using another word that she wanted to use. So
Haley yeah. in Essex says...
She's been texting a lot today.
Says Beth is a saint. She loves yes. hearing her. She wants her to come on more often.
We don't have a lot of women that come on.
Like in general, you mean?
No, just like as a co-host. You know, fill in. Usually we have guys that fill in. We don't usually have girls that fill in. We got to get more girls to come in and fill in. That'd be fun.
Okay, well, Heidi in Bristol, she listens to us
yeah.
every day.
And we used Annalise to do the updates once, too, so I thought that was kind of fun. You know, stuff yes. like that.
Annalise, who hasn't worked here
yeah.
for like a year and
yeah.
a half.
Yeah, we need more female voices on this.
Skip and
sure.
Swanton says, sports and soft porn, what was not to like about that hour?
I didn't see that one.
So your wife got really mad at you, and I'll get to the Celtics in
yeah.
a second, but
yeah.
you got to your wife was really mad at you when you were doing the Simona Fusco half-naked scene.
Yeah, that, she didn't see until it came out like a year and a half later. I just said, oh, yeah, it was good. We just did a scene, nothing big. I didn't
But
tell
you
her
had
what
shorts on, so I don't understand.
I had boxers.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they were long boxers.
But that's what you see in the scene, though. She rips the boxers off, and I'm wearing a thong.
That's not true.
No, that is true.
No, it's not.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm wearing smiley face boxers, but I have something on underneath, and she rips the boxers off. I don't know, but that's not in the trailer.
Oh, okay, so that's all I've seen is the trailer.
That's not in the trailer. You got to watch the movie. Now, I don't know if that's... I've never seen the movie.
You've never seen the movie
never
that you were
seen,
in.
Never seen the movie. So,
so now
because they didn't pay me.
She was wearing like a nurse's
outfit
type thing.
She was like a nurse's, thing. Yeah, with her boobs popping out yeah. all over the place.
Did she stay in that the whole time?
Oh, yeah. We were in bed together for about 5-6 hours. That's how long it took us to film it. 5-6 hours to film.
Five hours to film one scene
one
of her
scene.
Ripping off
yeah.
your smiley face
yeah.
boxers.
And we did different scenes. She was very nice, very cool, made me feel relaxed. best 5-6 hours of my life. It was a lot of fun. It was a good time, Brady.
Oh,
I'll be honest with you. It was a pretty good time. And she's very good looking. I don't know if you noticed that.
You didn't get paid at all for that?
I didn't get paid at all for that. But I did get paid for the voiceover Hardee's commercial that I told you about. We bankrolled that one. Are you kidding me, man? I used to get about like 200 checks at the end of every month, and each check was worth about, I'd say, anywhere between $35 and $200.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
They would just come in free for about 6-7 months, and I didn't have to do anything for it.
I would love to do some voiceovers.
Oh, that's the best thing ever, man.
I would love to do some voiceovers. I would love to do anything, pretty much anything I could do to make extra money, that's
yeah,
what I would like to
that
do.
That was the best. That was like one of the best gigs I ever had, was doing the voiceover. And I remember the first time they used me, they were using me for like saying, say 99-cent cheeseburgers. And I go, 99-cent cheeseburgers. They go, no, say it in another voice. And it was hurting my voice. And after an hour.
Because your own voice doesn't hurt enough.
Well, but they make me do a different way.
Yeah.
And I said, don't ever call me again. I go, I'm not doing this for another hour, say 99-cent cheeseburgers. And I left really mad. And I was heading toward the elevator. And they goes, well, here's your check. And it was like $2,500.
Okay,
like,
call me again.
I said, call me anytime you want. I'm coming back. Call me anytime. Oh, jeez.
802-655-6672. Remember, mistake of the day, you can get on in. Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester right on Heineberg Drive. Did you hear Colin yesterday? Colin ranking his top duos in the NBA.
Yes, so yes.
The Big Three era has kind of broken up in the NBA, okay? It was about LeBron. It was about Wade. It was about Bosh. It was about Garnett, Rondo,
right.
Allen. So Pierce. So the Big Three era has gone away right now.
I didn't
now.
See his list, though.
We have a yeah. lot of big twos now. A lot of duos.
Fair enough, right.
So there are... Colin gave his top 10 duos in the league. Coming in at number 8, he had the Boston Celtics.
Number 8.
Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum last year plateaued. I actually think he's really good. I just don't think he and Kyrie meshed.
I don't know if this is championship pedigree stuff, but let's not kid ourselves. Kemba fits. Kemba can score. Kemba's low maintenance. And Tatum's a very good young talent.
So Colin has the Celtics as the eighth best duo in the league.
If you would have asked me what the best duo is, I don't even know if I would have thought about Kemba and Tatum, to be honest with you. I don't know if that would have hit my top 10.
Well, I mean, what, you're complaining about it. You're looking at me like the microphone's off.
No, it just sounds different. No, go ahead. I don't know if they would have made my top 10, but, now that you look, you think about it, that's not a bad twosome. He's right. It may not be championship caliber, but it's not a bad twosome. Actually, I kind of like it better than Kyrie and Tatum, to be honest.
Leonard and Paul George was number one. He had Steph and Clay as number two. He had LeBron and Anthony Davis as three. Jokic and Jamal Murray he had in there. I don't remember the ranking at the top of my head, but McCollum and Lillard, that was number five, I know. Doncic and Porzingis was number six.
Okay.
Now I'm losing the whole Giannis and Middleton was number nine.
He had Russell
Westbrook and the ball as number 10.
Okay.
Because he doesn't have another player to play with. You know what's interesting to me is not so much the ranking. Look, the number 8 ranking is fine for the Boston Celtics.
Right.
And it feels about right considering the Celtics are about the 10th team or so that's, the 10th favorite for the title. So it feels about right to have their best two players at number 8. Are we sure that Jason Tatum is the right one, though, to be at number 2?
When you thought it would have been Gordo?
It should be Hayward, given the money that they're paying him. You have two max contract players. You have two guys making as much money as they can possibly make. It should be Walker and Hayward. If it's now down to where Walker and Tatum are the two best players on the Celtics, that is a bad indictment of Gordon Hayward. And coming back here, look, I've been as staunch a defender of Gordon Hayward as you could possibly be. I do believe that this year there is not an excuse for it, okay?
No, not at all.
A full offseason, a full season, a playoff run, and another full offseason. He needs to be the player that he was in Utah and be the player that you were paying him to be. This should be Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward. And because Kemba Walker is willing to facilitate more than Kyrie was, it should elevate Hayward's game. It shouldn't be Jason Tatum in year three of his career. It should be Hayward.
I know we're talking about duo, but I want to say something about Gordon. People say, he's had a tough 2 years, and I've been hard on him, and I certainly know that. But let's be real honest on him. The Utah Jazz are so much better team without this guy, it's not even funny. Matter of fact, they're a championship-caliber team this year. And I know it's not because Gordo left. They've made some moves since Gordo left, and they've actually become better. I mean, a lot better. It goes to show you, if you were running Utah, Brady, I could see you in Utah radio going, gotta keep this guy, gotta keep this guy. That's why you can't be forced to be keeping guys like that. There's certain upper echelon guys I can understand. Gordon Hayward, I told you from the very beginning, and I know he had the injury, this is not the kind of guy you give $100+ million to. Utah got better. Boston's kind of stuck with that
they
contract.
They got better
now.
For what reason, though? They drafted Donovan Mitchell. They got better because they drafted Donovan Mitchell.
Right, but they also got better this year, too, adding some pieces to the puzzle, and they were able to do that because they don't have Gordon
Hayward
yet. Yes,
okay, fine, because they traded. They didn't have that money tied up, so they were able to trade for Mike Conley.
Right.
Fine, but if Gordon Hayward stays in Utah and gets healthy, we could play this hypothetical game all the time where
they weren't winning a championship.
Where it's Hayward and Donovan Mitchell instead of Donovan Mitchell and Conley. I mean, and Hayward's a guy averaging 20 points a game, and he's good with the ball in his hands, and he's a good shooter, at least from 18 feet and in. He's a very good shooter. He's not a dynamite three-point shooter, but the fact that Colin has overlooked Hayward in his big two, that's a problem for the Celtics, because you're paying Hayward to be a guy who he's supposed to be your number one. He should at least be able to be your number two. So the fact that Colin overlooks him entirely, Hayward should be that guy.
I can see you thinking like that. I'm okay with the two that he picked. I mean, Kemba's really the guy now, and Tatum's now certainly no longer a youngster that doesn't know what's going on there. He's got 2 full years under his belt. So Is it two years?
Hayward has 2 years left.
No. How many did Tatum's played 2 full years now?
Tatum has played 2 years.
I'm totally losing. I thought it was going to be 3 years there for a second. So he knows which way is up. He's gone through the growing pains, and he's had 2 good, really productive years. I'm okay with the Kemba-Tatum combination. I'm okay with that.
Look, I'm okay with... Yeah. I guess I would have to be okay with it, but
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
Gordon
Hayward
should have been in
Hayward
there.
Should be that guy. The idea that Collins just going to bypass Hayward entirely. I mean, look, he didn't put Zion in his list, so he didn't put other young players in his list. He didn't put that much responsibility, that much burden, or that much trust in those really young players.
If you put Gordon with Kemba, Would you still have him in the top 10 or top 8 or whatever? I don't think so.
Oof.
I don't think so. I don't know. Again, it was the Milwaukee combination.
They were
that was number 9.
I don't think, Giannis and Middleton.
I don't think so. Not ahead of Giannis. Matter of fact, I don't know if I would have put Kemba and Tatum ahead of Giannis.
I would have put him ahead of Russell Westbrook and the ball. I think he was doing that just as a joke because he doesn't like Westbrook. But look, and again, it's also hard to tell because, you know, people who are hurt that aren't counting because Durant and Kyrie weren't in this list. Saying,
why wouldn't he be on the list? Just because he's going to be out for the year?
Just like John Wall and Bradley Beal weren't on the list.
But you told me Klay and Steph, and Klay's not going to play this year, but they've played together. Is that what this is about?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
And, you know, John Wall and Bradley Beal aren't on this list.
Well, because John Wall's maybe out for another year.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd put him on that list. I would, but I don't know if I'd have him very high.
I got to find his exact list and see if he put Kemp. He might have put Kyrie in there with Durant. Now I'm losing track.
Yeah, because even though that Kyrie is, even though Durant is not going to play next year, that doesn't mean you can't have him in your top 10 duos and, you know, certainly put him in that. I would think that he would have him in
there. All right, here we go. His duos were Leonard and Paul George, Steph and Klay, LeBron and AD.
Three.
Jamal Murray, Jokic from Denver.
Four.
Lillard and McCollum.
Okay.
Doncic and Porzingis.
That's a little high.
Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. He had them at 7.
Okay.
Then Kemba and Tatum. Then Giannis and Middleton. Then Westbrook and the ball. So he did not have Kyrie and Durant. He did not have Wall and Beal, which if they were healthy, I would say those are better twosomes than what the Celtics have.
Kevin Durant and Kyrie would be
top three. They would be a top three.
Top three or top four, depending on
if you want to put top LeBron, three or top four.
I would agree on that also. All right, Top Fair Tire text line if you want to comment on that, 802-655-6672. We'll come back. We'll get to the 4-minute football fix. That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Patriots are coming off another Super Bowl. And the Giants are looking to get back to relevance. We know the season is a ways away, but there's never an off-season for talking football. It's the 4-Minute Football Fix on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game on this beautiful Tuesday out there. Top for a tire text out if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Brady, let's get to the 4-minute football fix.
Yeah, The Athletic was ranking the most important Patriots heading into this season. I think they did the top 15, but we know that Tom Brady's number one. He's the most important Patriot there is. Best question I saw was, after Brady, who's the next most important Patriot? So if you were ranking the Patriots in terms of importance for this season, Tom Brady's one. We know that. Who's after him?
Does Belichick count?
No,
that doesn't get...
Players. That's
gosh, it. Look, if Brady's number one, I'm not going to say Edelman or any of the receivers. I'm not going to go ahead and say any of the offensive linemen because, you know, for the most part, they're going to be okay. The offensive line has always been somewhat okay. I'm not going to say anything, even though the corners were just absolutely horrible at times.
No, the corners last year were their best feature on defense.
Two years ago, they struggled.
Last year, Gilmore was one of the top corners in the league last year.
Because I was going to say Sony Michel, because that's the biggest question mark to me, and it's the most important because it's running back. And, you know, like I said, I think the receivers will be fine, at least Edelman and all that. So I'm going to say Sony Michel is the one I'm most worried about because he had injury problems, and I expect a lot out of him.
See, I'm going with Edelman, and it's close to me between Edelman and a surprise one wild card that you're probably not going to expect me to go with. The wide receiver room has so much potential, but it has so much uncertainty. I have no idea what to make of Josh Gordon, if he's even going to be reinstated, if he's going to stay with the team throughout the whole season. I have no idea what's going to come with Demaryius Thomas's Achilles. I don't know what I can put on N'Keal Harry as a rookie, even though he's a first-rounder, a pretty good physical specimen. I don't know what I can make of any of those guys. Edelman is the guy that Brady trusts.
You have no reason to question him.
I didn't say this wasn't the top question mark after Brady. This was the top most important Patriots after Brady. And to me, it's Edelman because he provides the stability for the offense. Look,
I understand. I took it as like what's the next most important thing after Brady? And there's a question mark, and that's why I said Sony Michel.
If you have questions with Sony Michel, if we have questions about everyone else in the wide receiver room, the one we have questions at tight end because Gronk's not there. The one constant on the offense. besides Brady,
right,
is Edelman.
Right.
And therefore, that to me makes him the most important guy outside of Brady. Secondly, you discount the offensive line. I think Isaiah Wynn is right up there, too.
Well, because they had done a good job, at least run blocking, and Brady doesn't get sacked much at all. So, and I know he gets rid of the ball quickly, yeah. but I think the offensive line has been good for a long, long time.
But when we think about Isaiah Wynn, look, this is a guy who you drafted last year in the first round, certainly had a lot of expectations on, could play both guard and tackle. He's missed an entire season, missed an entire year. He's going to come in here, start, like, in all likelihood, as a second-year player, but essentially a rookie. You let Trent Brown go in free agency. He signs with Oakland.
Right.
So you're bringing in a brand new left tackle. You want to keep Tom Brady upright on his blind side. That's the most important thing you can do is keep Tom Brady upright. That's his responsibility.
Yeah.
But this is a new guy who's going to be doing it. Again, for the second straight year. And Isaiah Wynn's an undersized player. Trent Brown was 6'8". He was a monster. So now you've got an undersized guy on Tom Brady's blind side. Keep Tom Brady upright. Keep the running game moving so that the team doesn't have to throw it 50 times a game. Those are two pretty important jobs that are falling on a guy who's never played in the NFL down.
Right. No, and that is a good one. But still, you know, even it's one of five, though. You're one of five. When you're a running back, you're going to be one of one because if you don't get it done, you're going to have to leave the game and have somebody else come in for you. You don't have Sony Michel as one of the most important players on the Patriots because if he doesn't run the ball well, you're going to have Tom Brady passing the ball a lot. You can't have him do that.
I think he's extremely important, but I'm not putting him at number two.
Okay.
For me, it's Brady. It's Edelman. If I was thinking of a top five, it would be Brady, it would be Edelman, it would be Wynn, it would be Michel, and it would be Gilmore because Gilmore is the best player on that defense. That's why I would put him there. I would say that's my top five right there in terms of who's most important to the Patriots this year. Brady, Edelman, Wynn, Gilmore, and Michelle.
I don't think they're going to have an explosive offense like a lot of Patriot fans think they are this year.
I don't think they're going to be explosive as I think they're going to be more rhythmic and methodical. I think they're going to be a team that, you know, I think you're going to see them. 4-yard run here, 4-yard screen pass there.
Right.
Dink and dunk. Paper cuts you to death. I think all of those things are important or rather are possible and plausible. And I do think they're going to be good in the red zone. I think N'Keal Harry is going to be excellent for them in the red zone. And if Gordon plays, he's going to be good in the red zone. I don't think they'll miss Gronk as much in the red zone as we think they do. But overall, I think the offense is not as good.
What was an article I sent you about somebody making a comment about Harry?
It was just that a former NFL receiver doesn't, you know, Reggie Wayne has realistic expectations for him. I don't think he expects him to go for 115 catches and 1,200 yards.
Okay. And Francis wants to know, what about Collins?
I mean, look, Collins is important, but you have Hightower, you have Van Noy, you have other experienced defensive players at the linebacker position. You have Juwan Bentley, who you're bringing back, who last year played well for you before getting injured. So I love Jamie Collins. I'd love to see him be as good as he was a couple of years ago when they traded him, but I don't think they can expect him to come in and be their best player.
All right, who's the most important Patriot second to Tom Brady? Let us know, 802-655-6672, if you want to go ahead and jump on in. We'll come back. Last story standing as we wrap up the show. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
By the way, Mike in Plattsburgh says, bingo, Arnie, Sony Michel allows Brady to be Brady. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right, last story standing. This is kind of a different one. I usually give you like a funny story. I just have three different facts.
Something very serious?
No, just facts to give you. We talked about this before the show. Did you know that Tom Brady ran the 40 time faster at 41 years old than he did at 23 years old?
Yes, I did. It was like 5.24 to 5.17 or something.
That's incredible.
5.31 to 5.17.
That's absolutely incredible that he could do that. Tom Brady's faster at 41 than he is at 23. So that tells you what the guy's physical shape is in. Brady, not one specific story. This is like a epidemic now that I'm going to give you. And I think you know what I'm going to talk about.
No, not yet.
Oh, you do. People, what is wrong with you? Stop going into the store and licking the ice cream.
Have you seen this? No, I don't know about this.
Well, you saw about the young lady, right? You didn't see about the young lady who went into the Walmart, Texas. The ice cream, Bluebell, I think it is. They don't have a seal around their ice cream.
Okay, so you can just lift it up.
So you can just lift it up and start licking it or taking it with your hand. There was one young lady who licked the flavor was called Tin Roof, and she licked it and put it back. Well, you can't play games like that. They, from the video evidence, they found out which Walmart it was. Then they got the video and they found out the girl. This is after, this is like a week gone by. They made, you know, put the effort in. The girl's underage. Otherwise, they would have put her in jail for 20 years.
Wow.
She's underage. They may go after the boyfriend who's 18 years old.
I went
and now there's copycats all over the place.
I went and bought my first tub of ice cream in like a year and a half yesterday.
Make sure it's got the seal.
It was chocolate cookie dough.
What kind of brand? Do you remember?
Price Chopper brand. It was on sale.
Yeah.
It was $1.99 for one carton.
Yeah.
Or I could have gotten a little pint for $2.50. I was like, no, I'm just going to take the bigger one.
Yeah. Make sure it's got the seal. Because people, what is wrong with people? You're looking. Yeah. One guy has a video of him taking it with his hands and eating it with his hands and then putting it back. You know, now there's a on Twitter, they have one supermarket that has, ready for this? I was going to say armed security guards. Armed with water guns.
Oh.
No, I'm serious. With water guns.
So they're just going to shoot you if you're doing bad things?
If you're, they stand right in front of the freezer.
I like that idea.
Water guns?
I like that idea.
Who's going to stop? I'm going to shoot you with a water gun.
Fact that there's just a security presence there, I like.
Yeah, it was funny on that. Who do we have on tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have a joint co-host.
Ooh.
So actually not joint, but 3 to 4 and 4 to 5. Rams fan Ralph is going to be in tomorrow. And we're going to have...
Wait, the first hour or the second hour?
The first hour is Rams fan Ralph, and the second hour is... now I'm losing my train of thought on it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. Someone's coming in tomorrow 4 to 5.
All right, well, somebody better be really good. We totally forgot because he tweeted...
Oh, Harry and St. George.
Harry and St. George. There you go. All right, thanks to my wife. She did a real good job, Beth. I'm proud of you. To Brady, I'm Arnie. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Drive home weekdays with The Huddle from...